Matt, put down your fucking Worms Armageddon thumb drive and pay attention, because now it's time for us to tell you what we're going to talk about on this episode of In-Game Chat.
The official podcast of CollegeGamers.com. This is your episode for Tuesday, June 30th, 2009. And in this show, we've got actually a full house in here today. I'm Scott.
I'm James.
Hey, I'm Jeremy.
I'll go last.
No,
you can't go last. You're next in line. But,
you got to save the best for last.
We are.
The guest. You got to save the guest for last.
All right, that's a valid point.
The wheels have come off about 30 seconds into this intro.
You're welcome.
That's really awesome.
That's what I'm here for.
All right.
RJ.
Matt.
And I'm Ryan.
Together. Also known as Suave Peanut.
Yes, Ryan took a trip to be on the show, and it's Suave Peanut from the forums, and he joined us here on the show tonight. So,
what did he help us talk about?
He helped us talk about a lot of things. The notepad's over there, so I can't read it.
I can verify, though, that he is indeed a Suave Peanut.
He is.
Yes.
Not like them psychotic kind.
Nope. No. Suave always wins.
Or boiled.
Thank you very much.
Now, we talked about Prototype tonight.
Of course, Jeremy got some time with it. I actually do, for reals, have a hooked up Wii in my house, and I played some Conduit for like half a minute.
You'll hear about that.
Transformers.
Woo. Transformers, yeah. Seriously, whatever.
It's like, something about me.
You'll find out.
When
they talk about it.
Starcraft 2 having LAN, we go into that a little bit.
Mass Effect 2, you know.
We're not sure what's up with that, but you'll hear us talk about it here.
And BioWare's...
Because you don't get a New Game Plus mode. So.
And BioWare's Old Republic.
Yep.
And other stuffs.
And other stuffs. Too much other stuffs.
The Twitters, the emails. Don't forget Twitter, in-game chat. Also emails everyone at ingamechat.net. So there you go. Is that it?
Yeah, start the show.
That's about it.
Here's the show.
Enjoy.
Elaborate on favorite.
Oh, yeah. Who's your favorite?
Like, who did I like the most?
No. Who's your favorite now that they're dead?
Like, who has the best jokes?
Well, there's obviously only one winner. On
yeah, right.
Yeah.
More sad about the passing of Billy Mays.
I don't know.
Billy Mays, everybody tells the same joke. I've heard it like 85 times now.
I don't think I've heard the joke.
It's, celebrities usually die in threes.
Yeah.
But leave it to Billy Mays to throw in one more absolutely free.
Nice. Okay.
Nice.
There
That's
you
really
go.
Good. Yeah, I don't know. Billy Mays. Really upset me. I mean, Ebbing Man's like fine, and Farrah Fawcett's like, well, we've been talking about this for a while, so. Okay, it's about time. And I don't know, Michael Jackson just some. It's like, you would do that. You would. You totally would do that. That's exactly the sort of thing I expect out of you, to die at a weird time under weird circumstances. Like,
can't be of old age. Just has to be out of the blue.
Yeah.
Maybe he just really hated Farrah Fawcett.
Yeah.
And wanted to steal her last thunder.
Yep. I don't know. I thought it was really. I didn't. Think of it just because I don't think of these things, but I logged onto my server, my Warcraft server that evening, and I was going to do some like fishing dailies or something, and I was just fucking around, and I was in Ironforge, and there was an army of night elves dancing. Night elves do the Michael Jackson dance.
Zombie dance.
Yeah. They don't do the zombie dance. They do like
the
little pirouette thing and like the leg kick and the hand thing and with the hat tilt that like they do that. And I was like, why are all these fucking night elves? I mean, night elves are always dancing somewhere. There's never a time in World of Warcraft when a bunch of night elves aren't just hanging the fuck around together dancing.
That's but just like, what they
but
do.
There was an unusually high concentration of it.
I was like, it was inordinately massive, this whole thing they had going on, and they had gone to the trouble of, you know,
singing.
They had synchronized. Obviously, they had forced someone to Piccolo of the Flaming Fire, which forced it, like, and make everybody dance. I was like, why are they doing this? And then I was like, oh, never mind. I don't know whether I'm sort of touched or disgusted. Or touched in a disgusting place. Yeah. You know, about this.
As far as Michael Jackson's concerned, I don't think those are mutually exclusive.
Yeah, right? So I suppose it really was the proper reaction.
Yeah.
So that was really, I thought that was really great.
I remember when Christopher Reeve died, we were still playing City of Heroes.
Oh, yeah.
That was a big deal.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, yeah, that's right. Everybody went around doing, like, making tribute characters.
Everybody put S's on their chest.
Yeah, I forgot about that. It was kind of fun.
If this were now, they'd all find horses to jump off of.
Yes. Yes.
That's right, Warcraft. Was Warcraft around at that time, or Warcraft wasn't around at that time?
No, it was before Warcraft.
No, it was just...
It died in October, and Warcraft was what, December?
It was November.
November? Yeah.
It was November of that year. I'm sure the beta players were all jumping off a cliff somewhere on their horse or something to their death.
All right. What's going on?
Hey, what are you doing in here?
Huh?
What are you doing?
Nothing.
Nothing?
I'm not doing a damn thing.
You're not doing a goddamn thing.
I just caught where you were going, and I decided I wasn't going to follow.
You're such a punk. Yeah. I bump set at you, and you refused to spike.
Yeah.
Drinking water? Mm-hmm. I drink the hell out of this water.
Ah, it's good. Water. Mm. But it's got some flavor in it.
Does it?
Yeah.
Hell, tap water has some flavor in it. Yeah.
It does around here.
Doesn't mean you won't like it, but it has
it. It does. You don't want to know what the Alabama aquifer tastes like.
Pipe wrench.
Yeah, it does taste like pipe wrench.
You guys didn't hear that. That was pipe wrench from the back from RJ.
RJ, that's your
from the cheap seats.
You need to cheat.
Speaking of, Ryan's here. He's new.
Hey.
New guy.
Yeah.
This is Suave Peanut. Where did that name come from?
It was 10 years ago. I had a friend who made his name Psychotic Peanut. So I just took that and made it awesomer.
Suave will always beat Psychotic.
Exactly.
Always.
I guess I had in mind we're going to start a clan of a bunch of peanuts. Different modifiers.
Right. You're going to be the Suave one.
Yes. Well, naturally.
You'd be like the face man
of
peanuts. That's really cool.
Oh, you have like Goofy Peanut?
What's wrong
Would
with
that
you?
Be another
That's
one?
Not funny. No, boiled peanut. That was peanut, right? Boiled peanut?
Yes, that was peanut.
Hooray for old jokes that nobody gets except for three people here.
So anyway, really awesome. You came down about 4-hour drive to be on the show,
hey,
which is good. I don't knock 4 hours.
I had other reasons to be here. Don't make me sound like... I mean, you guys are fantastic.
I was about what? Yeah, right. You had other reasons besides us?
Shenanigans. I really hope so.
Gasp.
I'm just saying, a guy from Canada drove all the way down here.
That's true.
Just for the show.
Was that Drew?
No, Drew would never do that. That was, Squish.
Squish, okay.
Yeah. Squish came down. Was it Squish?
Yes.
Yeah, some Squish. Brought us some ketchup chips from Canada.
Yeah, I remember you had a Canadian. I couldn't remember who it was, though.
Yeah, Squish. But anyway, welcome to the show.
Well, thank you.
How do you like the place so far?
It's squeaky.
Did you turn off the country background?
Yeah, country background's gone.
The subliminal country music.
I mean, if you want.
No, I know. Okay. I don't want it all.
I spend enough energy in my daily life blocking out country music.
You have to when you leave.
I don't need it during my leisure time.
You have to. So, I guess, you know, you're new and all. What have you played lately?
Not much. Well, I played Infamous, but I think you guys have exhausted that topic by now.
Hey, we really like Infamous.
Hey, how do you do? It's fun. Wait, you like Infamous?
I do.
Like Infamous.
Let's all tell you. We can start over. I'm only half kidding.
Favorite power?
I don't know. I've only done the good playthrough. I haven't found all the evil powers
yet. The electricity?
I like the one where you shoot electricity from your fingers.
Yes.
I like that one.
That one, I use that one pretty much the whole time.
Zap, 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 zap. What else? Anything else?
Well, a forum favorite. I've been playing Persona 3, which I know some of you aren't big into the JRPG.
It's not even so much that. It's like, I went away for a minute from the PS2, which is where all that was happening. Right. And then when I came back, there was so much of it that I didn't understand. And, There's a certain demographic of person who's always suggesting that I play that. Not make any pronouncements about the game, obviously, but this is a demographic I simply categorically refuse to take advice from. And I'm just like, no. You like that? No. That, like, there's no way I could possibly like that. And then, you know, I'll check the back of the box out and sort of read about it online in my own personal safety time. But, you know, I'll never be... I don't think I'll ever be found playing that
if
game.
If you look at, like, half of the threads on the forum, somebody's talking about Persona.
Yeah.
And, like, the Weekend Gamer, what are you playing thread?
Right. I mean, they seem... The series seems to have real legs, man.
Do you know much about it?
No. Okay. I know very little about it. I know that you get to shoot yourself in the head.
You do.
Which is really awesome. It's like you summon shit by committing...
a special power, you shoot yourself in the face.
Nice.
Wow.
I like to commit self-murder as an act of, like... summoning like intense powers. I think that's a really good idea.
If you don't like JRPGs, this game is very Japanese.
Right.
Like extremely so.
That's not something that I would ever hold against it. I can only take so much Japanese-y stuff, right, particularly in such a high concentration, but I would never be upset about that. It was more about I won't lie, a lot of it was about being an HD snob. I just sometimes don't like bouncing back to my PS2.
Yeah.
It's not bad. I'm just like, I just don't want to do it.
It's what you've come to expect from games that come out.
I've been led around a lot by the HD thing, and it's whatever. I just want to go look at pretty stuff sometimes, and it's a chore to go back and play really good things when they're not in HD for me, because I'm a very shallow person. So I hold nothing against it, but I also know that I will never. Because I understand them to be at least mildly time-consuming.
Oh, yeah.
So, and I know
it'll
that...
It'll suck you in. Like, I just wanted to, like, I bought this game back when I got my PS3 a couple months ago.
Uh-huh.
I'm going to give this game a spin. All these cats are talking about it.
Right.
And then Sunday, I put it in. I'm going to sit down and take a look at this. 7 hours later...
Right. See?
I'm like, oh, I get it.
Yeah.
I get it.
Yeah. I know. That'll happen to me. That'll absolutely happen to me.
I thought about that a couple of weeks ago with... What is it? I've totally forgotten the name. Was that $10 title we picked up?
Infinite Undiscovery?
Infinite Undiscovery. Yeah. I was thinking Undiscovered...
Infinitum.
Yeah, I thought about putting that in, and then like 3 hours later, I was still playing Wolverine, so I didn't bother.
Yeah, I mean, that's really Wolverine versus Infinite Undiscovery.
Speaking of this, though, we've got a tweet from, let's see, who did it come from?
I don't know, Scott, tell us. Who did it come from?
Sinister Spacer. He wanted to know if...
Those aren't even hard words.
I was trying to find it. Where was it? Where did it come
from?
On
your screen?
Yeah, well, it's with a bunch of other tweets. Sinister Spacer, Senator... Senator Spacer. Dude, change your name to that. It works better. Did any of you guys finish Lost Odyssey?
I did.
I did not. God damn it. I have, like, Catholic-level guilt about not finishing that. I feel bad. Sometimes I wake up and I'm like... Like, on my day off, you know, and I'm, like, sort of thinking about stuff to play, and I'm like, oh, Jesus, JRPG, I'm not finished, I don't know what was going on. And, like, I've loaded it up once since I quit playing it, and I was so confused and so lost, and I felt really bad. Mm-hmm. I was like, I don't know what's going on with any of you people anymore. I forgot a long time ago, and there doesn't really need to be, because most people are good people, and they just play through their JRPGs. But I would like it if I could hit a button and be like, you know, previously on Lost Odyssey, and it would, like, give me at least a textual synopsis of everything that's happened up to this point.
There's some game that did that.
Really? That would be awesome for me, because then I would understand, like, why am I here? Like, what am I doing at this place with this group of people?
That is something I wanted to see in RPGs for a long time.
It would really help me, because I always... I have a tendency to take a long pause in the middle of any story-heavy game like that, and I develop a real disconnect with what's happening,
right.
and it always makes it really hard for me to go back. And when I do go back to Lost Odyssey, I will have to take, like, no bullshit, probably an entire afternoon, and sort of retrace my steps before I can feel familiar with it again.
Brent and I were talking about this earlier today, as a matter of fact, how we'll start a game, and you're like, oh my god, I love this game. And then you come back 2 months later, and where the hell am I, and what is going on? And he starts the whole game over again.
Oh, wow. That's tough.
And then 7 hours later, he gets sidetracked. 2 months later, he has to start all over again.
Right.
So, I don't think he's finished a game since high school.
Ha!
Well.
Yeah? Scott, come on. it's not like you're the fucking host or anything.
Oh, yeah, Lost Odyssey.
We're talking about JRPGs. That's it.
Keep our shit on track here. We're the people that are supposed to be completely wandering away. You're the shepherd with the giant staff.
All right.
Keep us on the path. Or maybe you're the... Whatever. I don't know.
Sure.
I've seen the pictures of you at Jeremy's wedding. That's what you look like.
Threw away that costume this weekend.
Did you?
Oh, did you?
I still had it.
Wow.
I was cleaning out the car.
Didn't that come with, like, a bald cap?
I don't have the bald cap. Where did it go?
Did you guys keep it?
I don't know what happened to the bald cap.
You're a liar. You got it hanging up somewhere.
Okay, we're in inside joke territory.
We actually post these pictures online. Jeremy had like kind of a themed wedding at the theater where we all like knew each other and everything. And there's these themed there's these gardens out there. Really nice little gardens with an exterior amphitheater on like this sort of covered space with a thatch.
Shakespeare Festival?
Yeah.
Yeah, I've been there.
Yeah, we're all theater people.
Okay. Here's a picture of Scott.
Yeah. Well, anyway, Scott being an ordained guy and all. Yeah, there he is, see? Like, dressed up as a man of the cloth there. And Jeremy had his sword. And Becky had, like, a laurel or something in her hair. I don't know what that was. She was looking like one of the people from way back there. Anyway, Scott looked like a shepherd. Put a gnarled staff in his hand. And
oh God, the jokes.
Yeah.
Sorry.
No, please don't. By all means, I'm always looking around for those. I'm ashamed that I missed that one.
Yeah, all right, again,
when you had the long hair.
The long hair.
Yep.
Oh, that's right. That was before we cut it for.
Yeah.
The thing for child's play.
Anyway, it turns out this is a video game podcast.
Yeah.
So no, I have not completed Lost Odyssey.
I think I completed it. I got
he
the.
Thinks, he's not too sure. It was such a long ass game.
I know that Dennis did. Dennis, who is not with us.
RPG guy.
Yeah. Well, he could like. He wasn't even just a bulldog about it. He would just like he just could do it. He could just
Blue Dragon for
yeah.
God's sake.
He would just get into it, and he had a level of discipline that was like that clearly doesn't exist in anybody else over here because Matt's looking up porn and Jeremy's looking up. Jeremy's looking up what? I don't know.
Not this time.
Billy Mays jokes or something.
You said that he looks up with the deer in the headlights look.
Hey, right?
Like how can you see me? No,
know him that well.
I did beat Lost Odyssey. I didn't get all the achievements, though, because there's this one item I have to find that I gave up on.
I could have done without the, like, I could have done without, you know, wearing chic sunglasses in the cutscenes. You know what I'm talking about. Like, you can put all these items on, which it's very cool. You can put all, you know how, like, your character's in a JRPG, just pretend like you know what I'm talking about. Like, you can put on accessories like rings and various, like, whatnots that increase your stats or your abilities or whatever.
Totally, right there.
When you put them on in Lost Odyssey, they actually appear
in the cutscenes.
On your character, actually, there. Mm-hmm. And there's some of them are just weird, like earrings and stuff, which, you know, you're a guy. So
I beg your pardon.
No. I have myself had earrings before because so the caveat was going to be these are very like the earrings were very like B. Arthur. You know what I mean? They were like sort of like multicolored little things. I don't know. They were very weird. They did not fit Kime very well at all.
Mm-hmm.
And the glasses were very strange because they were like Oakleys or something. You know. I don't know what the hell sunglasses from Lost Odyssey are supposed to look like, but they just looked weird. So, there were times when I really felt like I had to de-equip certain things to deal with the cutscenes.
Crap, I'm about to go into a cutscene. Let me take these things.
Well, I mean, because there's like these long cutscenes where like important people who are deeply tied to the emotional state of the characters like have like these agonizing deaths. And like, when dude's walking around in like really hip sunglasses for the whole time, I'm like, I don't know, I'm not...
So, I mean, we're in JRPG, so we're going to have some kind of drama angst party.
Right.
And when he's wearing these, you know, hipster shades, and I don't... He's not really emoting through them.
No, he's not. That's not the emotion that I wanted. He's... Yeah, so I don't know. But whatever. Nonetheless, a really, really fantastic game. And I have much guilt about it. So it sits there and on my shelf and looks at me from time to time. And I feel bad about it.
Yeah, I didn't hardly play anything. Last night, on a whim, I went over to Blockbuster, and there was Ghostbusters, so I grabbed it.
Did you?
And Fight Night came in the mail yesterday. Last night, anyway. So I'll be playing some of that tonight. But I didn't play much of anything this past weekend. I played Infamous. More of Infamous is all I'm doing. So
how far are you in that now?
I'm in the second island. Just got to it.
Oh, wait. You guys like Infamous?
We do. Have you played it?
I have.
Funny you should mention that.
You're slow, by the way.
Very slow.
You're extremely slow. I really, I'm going to have forgotten all the cool shit I want to talk to you about.
I'm just
going
to go back to the show and listen to
last week when we did this, didn't he say he had just finished up with the first island?
I guess, sworn
that's
no,
what you said.
I think I said I was...
Finishing the first island.
Halfway through the first island, I think.
Go back and listen to that.
Yeah, go ahead. Go right ahead. But yeah, I'm a slow player on these things. That's all I played. Anybody else?
I went through about half of Prototype.
Right there at least tells me something.
Yeah?
Yeah.
What's that tell you?
You just usually don't have tolerance for stuff that pisses you off.
No, I don't.
if you were in a place where you were not happy with it, you wouldn't be halfway through the game.
Yeah, pretty much. I really enjoy the gameplay. I mean, there's things about it that I think could, you know, don't work as well as they should, but they're never in my way. It's just like, for instance, when you run, you know, you can run straight up a building, and for most of the early part of the game, man, scaling buildings doesn't really get you anywhere because you can't really jump from rooftop to rooftop very well. You end up maybe jumping on a couple and then falling all the way back down. And so really the shortest path anywhere is just to run in the streets most of the time. Later on, like I'm halfway through the game now, my movement powers are developed to the point where, man, I can leap and glide and do some shit and get around pretty easily. But it was never hindrance. It's just I had to realize that my powers weren't developed enough to do that sort of shit, so running up the side of a building was basically just me running straight up so I could go straight back down again. But the actual gameplay, the beating guys up, I've had a good time with. The story is shit. The dialogue is even shittier. But I'm having a good time playing it, so.
Does it stack up at all to Infamous, which I hear you liked?
No, it doesn't. It doesn't really hold a candle to Infamous.
Because Infamous has the gameplay. Infamous has the
honestly,
story.
I wish I had played this before Infamous. I probably would have enjoyed it a lot more.
And I do think that might have a lot to do with it.
I think it does. But, so. I went into it, you know, having heard, you know, everybody else's opinions and knowing that this wasn't going to compare. So I tried to just kind of wipe my expectations clean and take it for what it was.
Which is honestly the best policy for something like that.
So I'm enjoying it, yeah.
I mean, I don't ever want to. I would also like to play. I don't think for me it had anything to do necessarily with playing it after Infamous, but just that I played it so soon after. Mm-hmm. I wanted it to be something different. I didn't want to like it. I mean, I say that I did, but I think I had a real bias toward it. So
sure.
And clearly,
unlike Infamous, where you had a lot of reason to go out and do the little side mission stuff because they gave you important things. I haven't found a good, compelling reason to go do any of the side missions, whether it's like rooftop races or hunt down a specific guy or do this thing in a timed period. They're all timed, and I don't enjoy timed stuff. And since the reward just really isn't there, I ignore them. What is fun, though, is you can at any point in time go to a military base or to a hive. Now, I don't really like destroying the military bases, mostly just because they're... It doesn't really have an impact on what's happening, but yeah, you know, I try to play good, and it doesn't offer me a lot of ways to play good. Your guy's really kind of a bad guy. He's kind of just this thing.
Yeah.
And
seemed like a dick to me.
Yeah. I mean, he's not good. He's not a good thing. I don't even know that he's really a person. You know, I don't think that they're very subtle with that. But so I just had to get used to the idea that, man, I'm going to kill a lot of guys that don't need to be killed necessarily, you know, and that's fine because they're not real. but I don't like. But I don't like. I don't like destroying the military bases. It's like the only choice I'm really offered in the game, as far as good or evil. I like destroying the hives. I get in a tank, blow the hive up, get a lot of points to spend on new abilities. It's easy.
That's what I've heard. There's a shit ton of abilities.
Oh yes, God yes, and they're easy to get. I mean, you just accumulate experience like mad. So you're just constantly unlocking stuff. You just have to remember to go spend your experience points on new abilities.
Yeah.
But the bases, even if you don't want to destroy them, you can infiltrate them. You go and find the commander, and like kind of come up behind him and give him a hug that looks kind of dirty, and you like just kind of soak him into yourself and you become him. And then you can like get inside the base, and there's like several guys in there that you can absorb that give you skills as far as using certain weapons or vehicles. If you absorb,
how do you like the storytelling through?
Oh, it's shit. Okay. It's shit. Like, I like finding all the guys in the web of entry or whatever the fuck they call it.
I always
it.
Thought it was neat, though, whenever they would show you, like, whenever you absorb someone, you start seeing someone
yeah,
there.
Yeah, but like 80% of the time it's like, oh, I'm such a badass, I have all these skills. Or, this guy's such a badass, you need to be careful. Or, these guys are such badasses. That's mostly what it is. When they do give me a little bit of story, I'm usually tuned out because, like, well, whatever. It's just not that important.
Well, I know they're subtitled with a sequel now. Return to Badass.
Yeah, yeah, probably.
It's funny.
We're some badass dudes.
But I do love finding all of the guys with memories to absorb right. just because it's fun to do.
I almost would like to see that mechanic realized in a game where the guy was not such a badass.
Yeah.
You know, where, like, that was the survival technique and the mechanism by which you got shit done.
Mm-hmm.
It seemed a lot like finding the key to me. Like, take over the guy so you can get the thing you need to go be badass in some other room yeah. somewhere. And I would like to see something where the player character, protagonist, antagonist, whatever he is, could do that thing, and you know, and do that whole absorption thing that didn't quite look so weird. Because that honestly did bother me a little bit. But where he himself was very frail mm-hmm. or very ineffectual
mm-hmm.
and that by absorbing these people and becoming them and learning everything they learned, that that's how the game was built. So the yeah. game was more puzzle-oriented.
Sure.
Even with a lot of combat that you would use by becoming these people. But that
would be a pretty interesting
that the badassery concept. Itself always just seemed to overwhelm the subtlety that you could... manipulate with all of this taking over other people.
Mm-hmm.
And maybe I would get it more as I played on, but I kind of thought it would be really cool if, like, I don't know, if maybe I was, like, I mean, maybe if
it was something other than getting better with a machine gun that you're probably never yeah. going to use but once or twice.
And I know that I mean, I want to say there have been games that sort of worked like that, where you played as a... Wasn't there something a generation or two ago where you played as, like, a... something like you were insubstantial. You were a ghost or something like that, and you had to possess different bodies.
Yeah.
You know what I was talking about?
Yeah, Geist. Is that what
yeah,
it was?
Yeah, you're right.
For,
yeah,
GameCube.
Yeah, it was for the Cube. That's right.
Which game?
Geist.
Okay, yeah.
GameCube. Something, yeah, like basically along those lines, where that was the core of the gameplay.
Cool.
Something I'd like to see. But I'm glad you're playing it. I really am glad for the perspective.
Cool.
For your point of view on it.
Hey, Ryan, you want to be on more shows? To pull that out of the way? I would have never gone back.
I knew there. It was... I was pretty sure it was on Cube. I just could not remember what the name was.
Wow. Before we get into what James played...
What's your problem?
Just I don't have a problem.
Dude, I don't even know what I'm going to say when you ask
me
what I played.
He has to put himself first.
Yeah, that's true.
No, I don't, actually. How long have we been doing this? 3 years now?
Yeah.
3 years?
Quite a bit more than 3 years, actually.
3 years now, and...
Is it 3 years, or is it 2 years?
Whatever. We've been doing it a long time.
Did it for a minute.
James
Let's split the difference.
James
two and
has
and a, half.
A Wii now.
Oh, I don't own a Wii.
Well, he doesn't own a Wii.
Yeah.
I said you have
but
a
you
Wii.
You have a Wii.
Yeah. I took possession of Matt's Wii console.
Oh, God, more jokes.
No, see, that's why I put console there, because those jokes were just spilling out all over the place last episode. You'll find out when we post it.
And sorry that hasn't been posted.
Yeah, we've had some...
And, of course, this apology will come late, since this episode
yeah, right?
will be posted for
we've had some problems
so
on our back end.
I'm double sorry. Yeah. I had 3 kids at my house for a week, and things at work were pretty shitty. Are pretty shitty, actually.
Yeah.
But now at least I have some time at home to do some shit.
The internet doesn't care about your problems.
No, it really
doesn't.
That's
okay. I don't care about the internet's problems either.
So I did borrow that, and I did spend a little bit of time with a copy of The Conduit.
Oh, yeah. Really?
Yeah.
How did that work out for you?
Man, I felt like a spastic fool playing that game. I could not at first get a handle on the control scheme. I had a really difficult time with it. I like it. It's not GameCube ugly the way that I figured they had to be. It's also, you know, not quite as pretty as I would like to see it be, but I was pretty comfortable with it as a shooter, and I guess I look forward to spending some more time with it. But I mean, it's really the first time that I've played something like, other than like the stupid little, you know, Wii Sports stuff over at Scott's house, first time I've played anything that complicated at all on the Wii. And I did not feel like I had a good handle on the controls whatsoever. For the most part, and I'm pretty sure that I'm going to have to take advantage of the Conduit's willingness to do something that we beg for all the time, which is allow you to completely configure the controls yourself. Yes. They offer, like, I believe 4 to 6 preset things.
Yeah.
And then you can just say, screw all that, and just set your controls up how you like, which is very good. And I think that's what I'm going to have to do. But I didn't do that for the first, say, half hour, 45 minutes that I was playing, because I didn't even know I didn't have any base of reference for, like, what these things do anyway. So the only problem I had with it was that the Wiimote wanted to guide my crosshairs, my cursor, through the screen environment, you know, over the screen, but also control the X and Y movement, you know, my turn and my looking up and down. And there was some weird interaction with how that happened that I just couldn't get comfortable with, and I couldn't ever get the sensitivity where I wanted it and stuff like that. And I spazzed out a lot and tried to shoot things. Toward the end of my play session, I realized that there was that you can actually lock on to guys. And so what that'll do is that basically Z-locks you to them. So you don't have to fight aiming and turning in order to get your crosshairs on them. So that was kind of my fault, not seeing that was there. And once I did that, it was actually a little bit easier. And then it was clearly something that people like me need to do to have any fun with the game. But I think I liked it.
Okay.
I think. I don't know. I'm clearly not going to be stupid and, like, my overblown asshole normal self and try to compare it to something else. Like, I am going to give it the benefit of doubt that it is a, you know, as a Wii shooter, I think it should be measured up against other Wii games. So, but I haven't played a lot of Wii games, so I need to play some more before I kind of say, like, this is where this game lies in the whole.
All right.
Expansive things, but I played it. I didn't hate it. It set itself up pretty easy.
Would
so.
Pass anything on to you there?
Yeah, sure.
I know you want Klonoa, right?
Yeah. All right. Which I have played before, but
yeah.
I'm glad to hear that the Wii hooked up correctly, because I couldn't get it to work on my HD TV at all.
Yeah, I had to force it to fill.
You have the component cables?
No, I do not.
See, that I don't have component cables either, and that's I think what the problem was.
Ah.
Yeah.
Okay.
I would like to hook it up with component cables.
I would like to let you.
Yeah, okay.
I would like to let you. If you want to go ahead and buy component cables,
yeah, I know.
Feel free.
I'm sure you would.
Anything you want to add to it.
Well, I'm not going to have it for very long. Oh, wait. No, you're going to the sand for half a year.
Yeah.
I'll have plenty of time with it.
Since you were talking about how long we've been doing this, our first episode, which, by the way, I don't think ever actually got recorded. Something happened to it.
Yeah, I think so.
Was February 2nd, 2007.
That's right. It was Groundhog's Day.
That was the day I was actually leaving the sand the first time. That was I was flying out that night, and I remember I was in the MWR tent calling up.
I don't know what that means.
The military wellness and recreation tent. It's where they have the computers and the phones.
Oh, and like and, the Yahtzee sets and the
the Xboxes and yeah, all that stuff. But I was in that tent and I was like calling up. And I'm like, all right, you know, this is the first episode. I want to give them a call. I don't care if I'm late for this plane. Actually, I did care. I was going home.
That's really funny. That's great. See, I got a Wii. Don't ask me to have any sort of critical opinion of it yet, just because like I haven't done much. I hooked it up and I'm like, well, there it is. You know what I do like? You know a feature that I really do like about it?
What's that?
It'll eject a disc without turning on.
Yeah.
I know, that's the most retarded thing in the world. But, like, I appreciated that. I hit eject, and the system stayed off, and I was like, you know what? Thanks for that. I really appreciate that you're capable of doing something that these, you know, this combined $1,000 worth of fucking hardware I have over here doesn't know how to do.
That's pretty good. Yeah. I'd never thought about that.
Yeah. that doesn't mean anything. I don't know. I mean, and right, the PS3 can't do that, right? I know the 360 can't do that.
No,
God, no.
Oh, no.
The 360 is like, here's your disc. And I don't think the PS3 can do that.
Yeah, I think it turns on every time you eject.
I'm pretty sure.
Yeah.
It does.
Okay, yeah, just a neat little thing. I was like, and the light stayed amber, and I was like, well, good on you. You know that I don't want to turn you on. I just need to take that disc back to Blockbuster.
Did I ever mention that I got my my original 360 back repaired?
No.
Yeah. Well, actually, it wasn't my original 360. They sent me, you know, a different one.
Oh, okay.
It was actually
okay.
A launch model they sent me back.
Really?
Mine was out of warranty anyway. I guess if I replace it with another out of warranty one even further back. But at least this one works, right? Well, actually, mine was out of warranty after I sent it to him. I sent it to him just under the deadline.
So okay.
It's going to be out of warranty by the time I
gotcha.
Get back. Clarify that. Not that anybody cares. when I hooked it up, it went through this shit I'd never seen before because, well, I bought mine used from you.
Yeah.
It went through this whole, this is your 360, and it's this marvelous piece of technology.
Oh, wow.
Video thing. And
nice.
And, like, it showed me, like, how to use the blades, which...
don't exist anymore.
No. Which, it was already loaded up with the NXE.
That's weird.
So, I don't know, but it was, like, explained all about the blades. And I was like, this is fascinating. I've never seen this, but I never knew this existed. Has
really
anybody
crazy.
Else seen this video?
Yeah. I do remember when you first turned it on, yeah.
Yeah.
It's, I honestly don't remember that. It's been too long, but...
You probably told it, no, fuck this new video.
Yeah.
I know how to use a game console.
I mean, because that reminds me of, like, what happens
it's
every
like,
single time you're...
Hey, welcome to Windows. You want to take the tour?
Yeah, no. That's sort of like what happens when your power goes off in your house and the TiVo has to reboot.
Yeah.
It's like, it has to do... I mean, it doesn't, like, do an introductory... Well, it does an introductory thing. It doesn't do any sort of educational video, but it's like, it has this whole goddamn presentation, you know, like... chorus line thing, and
yeah,
it's just
that
like
you never see unless you turn the power off, because you never turn the power off on your TV
ever.
Yeah, you never do.
And then you're like trying to turn it back on, and it's like, watch this, and I'm like, man, I don't want to see this at all. I don't want to see this little ball rolling through this thing, or like whatever the. I mean, I don't know how to Gen 1. That's what they did in Gen 1. Was
yeah, this one. I
the
think
ball rolled down the thing.
It's something different now for the Series 3 by now.
I don't know. I don't have 3. Different. I'm not quite there. Two.
Mr. GT Chris. Said, Conduit, one of those cases of, if you only have a Wii, it's decent, but otherwise, stay away.
I could totally see that. I mean, I'm not going out, I'm not like, holy shit, it's a great game, I better play all the way through it. It's like, this is my first experience doing this on the Wii. I owe it to all the nasty things I've said about the Wii to go through it at least a little bit.
As a shooter, how would it be if you were playing with just a gamepad?
It would be... You know, that's a really good question.
Like, is there a gimmick to it? Like, why are you playing this?
There's a minor gimmick, and I haven't gotten deep enough to, like, to feel out some of the really awesome stuff. The little... the little tool you have, the little all-seeing eye, is a neat little puzzle element thing. It's like, it allows you to see things that are sort of phased out of our normal reality or don't have, like... an immediately understandable, tangible thing. So it's a neat little, you know, it's a neat little trick. I think the gimmick is it's a good shooter on the Wii. So, I mean, I'm not even being snarky there. It's like, that's the thing. It's a solid shooter for people who own Wiis. I think I actually would probably enjoy playing it as a straight shooter, though.
Mm-hmm.
Not, you know, Not a lot. But you know what? And you know what's funny, though? You know what's funny? The fact that it does remind me graphically in some way of the old school Nintendo 64 shooters actually sort of made me happy. Huh. It was sort of, it was pleasing, you know, the prefrontal cortex kind of way. Like, oh, this is nice. It's like playable, but reminiscent of those things, which of course I can get soon enough.
Would you attribute that to a lack of brown?
Like. Maybe.
There's a lot of that next gen filter.
No, it doesn't. It's too much blue. No, it's okay. It seems okay. It would be kind of cool to play it without the motion controls, because, you know, what do you do this thing, right? You do this thing when you want to whack something with the butt of your rifle, and you do this thing when you want to throw a grenade. Well, whatever, you can put that on a button, you know. So, that's no big deal. And I probably would be more inclined to play all the way through with just buttons and analog stalks, but that's neither here nor there. I'll play it some more.
So you're still gonna stick with it for a while?
Whatever. I don't know what I want to play on it next. I'm actually kind of.
That was my next question.
Yeah.
What you're gonna play on it next.
Well, I haven't played that. There's Zelda, you know. Yeah. It's a whole Zelda I didn't play. So.
Get the GameCube version.
Really?
Yeah.
Really.
I mean.
Maybe I won't play that. There's Zelda.
I mean, if you'd rather, you know, not waggle.
Yeah.
Because every time you want to swing your sword, you're shaking.
Really?
Yeah.
Oh, I didn't think you had to go that far. Well, that seems a bit much. Well, the whole point here is that I want to try to, like, leverage the Wii for what it is.
Yeah.
Like, if I want to play an action game where I don't waggle and do this, you know, I've got those other two systems sitting there, you know, or the PC. I got that saying. I'm just trying to, like, love the Wii for what it is. I've got access to it. I want to know it.
I think I got the Zelda disc at home. I'll, you know.
Okay.
Next time you work or something like that.
I don't necessarily know that I want to do that.
Well, my thinking is that it was built for the GameCube in the first place.
It's true. It's very true.
I mean, the next one's built ground up for Waggle. This one was kind of tacked on.
Oh, okay. Well, I think
I played it for the first time on the Wii, and it's more comfortable with...
With just a regular controller?
Hitting a button to swing your sword. Because that's the Zelda I'm used to.
Right. Well, then I don't know what I'll do next.
I mean, by all means, give it a shot.
Right. Well, particularly if he's already got the disc. Isn't the GameCube one kind of hard to come by?
Maybe.
I want to say that it is. I don't know for sure. Because for a long time, I wasn't even aware that they still had actually done that.
Yeah.
You know,
yeah.
Had actually still released it on the
Cube. It came out like 6 weeks later. They delayed the release of it.
Oh, okay.
The Wii version.
Yeah, so that people would pick it up on the Wii, yeah.
Or
try and pick up the Wii because they want to play that, yeah.
That's what happened to me.
Oh, they suckered you in.
Joke's on me.
Yeah.
The last Wii game I bought was Smash Brothers.
Oh, Galaxy for me.
Did Galaxy come out before Smash Brothers?
Came out after.
Did it really?
I don't think so.
What's wrong with you? That can't be true.
I'm pretty sure Galaxy came out after
Smash. You gotta be wrong.
Galaxy was holiday 07. And Smash Brothers was
just a little more than a year ago. Yeah.
Oh, that's right. Okay. Yeah. Really?
Yeah.
Shit.
It's okay.
See, Super Mario Brothers, Galaxy.
We gotta figure it out, man.
Alright.
No, that's fine. But anyway, the whole point is, I've got it.
Unless I'm right.
I'm gonna spend some time.
November
with it, so.
Was Galaxy. November 12th.
So it was about 6 months apart.
Of
07.
07.
07. Jesus, has it been that long?
It has been that long.
Oh, yeah, that's right, because 07 was Assassin's Creed. 07 was... God damn. What does that feel like? That was this... The fuck did I play this... Oh, yeah, Fallout 3. Yeah. Left 4 Dead. Now I forgot. Okay, yeah, never mind. Back on track.
Yeah.
Anyway, what did you play, Matt?
I played Project Justice and a little...
Project Justice.
Yeah.
What is that?
Old Dreamcast fighter.
See, we didn't record this.
RJ's over there like, why are you fucking laughing about the Dreamcast? Don't laugh about the Dreamcast.
Like, am I going to have to choke a bitch?
I also played some Shenmue. God. I found my Dreamcast. It was like...
That's obviously the...
So, there's nothing wrong with that. I mean,
you guys weren't kidding at all.
No, not at all.
See, we didn't record, like, a conference. See, Ryan comes in the building before we even start recording, and he gets to meet the crew, and then Matt shows up, and Matt mentions Netscape. For some reason.
It slipped.
Like, I was using Netscape. I mean, Firefox.
So we explained to Ryan where, you know, where Matt sits in the world.
He lives in the past.
I think it's around 94.
Maybe.
Around there.
So hearing him say, oh, I played the Dreamcast.
Yeah. There's nothing wrong with the Dreamcast. It's great.
Just
that's
reinforces
totally great.
That
I did,
whole idea.
Yeah. I loaded in my VMUs and everything, just loaded it up, and I'm like, oh, okay, that's, I forgot how it felt, and just tooled around with it a little bit.
That's what he does.
That's okay, man. That's yeah, that's all right. Sure.
And also Grim Fandango.
Grim Fandango, of course.
I was going to say, if you didn't play a LucasArts game this week, I was going to be very disappointed.
No, I'm getting back into that one again.
I don't know that I've ever known you not to be playing
when
a LucasArts
I've never
game.
Known you to be out of that one. How do you get back into it?
Just restarting again on a new machine. I actually found a, from, I think it was like the ScumVM site. No, not Scum. ScumBar. I found a loader where it actually installs it, you know, because it was giving me the Vista 64, you know, fuck you error.
Right.
So, but they actually had a loader where you could load it and play it on the 64-bit system. So, I'm playing it now.
Great.
Yeah, that and Escape from Monkey Island.
Okay.
And I need to beat
anything,
that one.
Yeah, anything else you playing?
No, that's anything about it.
Anything from this decade?
No.
Okay.
That's okay. That's all right.
Track Zero, speaking of true, Track Zero tweets and says, talk about the genius of Quest for Glory.
Quest for Glory.
Wow.
You know, Sierra game.
I never played that Sierra game.
You didn't?
No. I played a bunch of King's Quest, yeah. A bunch of Space Quest, Space Leisure Quest. Suit Larry, Police Quest.
Police Quest, yeah, those are good.
That's the one I missed. I didn't know.
Okay.
Quest for Glory.
Sorry, Drew. We really can't talk about that.
It's been too long since I played that one. I don't remember much about it, to be honest with you.
Yeah. Well, he heard that we were talking about some of the adventure games.
Yeah.
I talked to him, and he's like, oh, you fuckers better not have left out some of those Sierra titles.
Oh,
instead of just mentioning all the LucasArts.
No, the Sierra titles are great. They're just, they were different. You know,
I was
they're
big into the Sierra adventure games.
Though. Yeah, they were good. They were just different. I mean, I was more into, like, I love the Gabriel Knight series was one of my favorites. Mm-hmm. And
Told us not to bring that one up.
Oh, well, fuck him.
He said, yeah.
Well, if there's ever
exactly
something you don't want brought up, Matt's the guy that'll bring it up, too.
He's like, don't just be going. He said, you better brought up, and he listed off a couple. I have to go find the thread that I was talking to him in. And he said, instead of praising that damn Gabriel Knight shit.
that was a good one. I enjoyed it.
Oh, it's great, but I think it was the fact that it always
that's what most people always go to. Yeah,
yeah. They always go to that, and they don't hit those
my
smaller
games. My first two, I played at my stepbrother's house, and it was before I had a PC, but I got one shortly after. I played Space Quest 3 and the first Leisure Suit Larry. Space Quest 3 required them fancy EGA graphics.
Oh, yeah.
So when I finally got my XT that could emulate CGA, it was a little out of reach. But I played Space Quest 1 and 2 on it and Leisure Suit Larry.
Those were fun games.
Leisure Suit Larry.
Yeah.
God, I would always
you sure that's
that,
water in there?
Huh?
You sure that's water in there?
Yeah, and vodka.
Which I was in junior high at the time. And my mom had seen Leisure Suit Larry at my stepbrother's house, and when I mentioned I was about to beat it, she's like, "Yeah, I don't think you need to be playing that." So why don't you give that to me?
I was like,
"All right, yeah, I'll give it to you. I'll put it on some floppies, and you can have it because it was on my hard drive, right? Yeah. You know."
Wait, did you copy that floppy?
Yeah, hell yeah, I copied that floppy, man.
Floppy.
So I copied onto a couple of double density floppy disks. Like, here you go, here's the game. And I finished it.
Nice.
I was that close to finishing. I wasn't just going to stop.
Man. I would always see that game in the store, and I'd be like, I really want that, but there's no way my mom or dad's going to buy that for me or let me walk out of here with it. Or
man.
Even, how am I going to fucking play it? You know, much less.
It had that adult check. It would ask you 5 questions that supposedly only adults were supposed to know. Yeah.
Dude, find those questions. Go hit the internet, find those
Here's
questions.
The thing, it doesn't scale. So, like, I would have just as much a hard time answering them today as I did when I was 13, right? Because
See
they
if
were
you
questions.
Can find those questions.
They were questions that adults in, like, the early 80s would have known.
Well, is this like Vietnam War questions?
I think there was something about the Vietnam War, yeah. But like, you know, I just did trial and error. There were only so many questions it could potentially ask me. And after
choice.
A while, I learned the answers to the questions by, yeah. And some of them I just knew anyway, but some of them I just guess. So And you could get, I think, 4 out of 5 and still play. If you got 2 wrong, though, it's like, you're a kid. You can't play this game. But, yeah, I'd like to see anybody under 30, you know, answer all those questions right the first time today.
That's all, dude. You need to find those questions.
I'm trying to. My internet went down.
Suddenly, you know, if it was porn, it would be fine.
My internet went down.
Yes, it went down over here. All right, internet's broke. Scott, hit the pause button.
We'll be right back.
This is Eric from the Immortal Machines PC Gaming Podcast, where every 2 weeks we discuss retro titles.
Come get some.
Current releases.
Pills here.
And engage in stimulating debates. Intellectually stimulating debates about the state of the industry. Come join us anytime at immortalmachines.com and every 2 weeks for our podcast, Immortal Machines. We're all out of gum.
And we're back.
You got the questions?
Found the questions with the answer, but we haven't found the questions that had the apparently it came with multiple choice.
Yes, and some of them were very funny, the different choices.
They didn't make
well.
Like,
were they funny to adults or funny to kids?
I thought they were funny, and I didn't understand them. So, let's see here. All right, you just want the questions and the answers?
Yeah, just give us. Yeah, all right. I want to see some of what you had to puzzle through.
Yeah.
However many years ago.
Okay. All right. Tiptoe Through the Tulips was recorded by
Tiny Tim.
Tiny Tim. Yeah.
Yes.
I didn't get that.
Working radio.
Oh, right.
See, a lot of these won't make sense unless you can see the multiple choice. Like, where's the...
...
And it's beef.
As only adult has watched television.
A Nehru jacket is... And the correct answer was out of date. Bourbon Street is in
New Orleans.
Yeah. Calvin Klein is a clothing designer. Captain Kangaroo's sidekick was
Mr. Green Jeans. That's specifically for kids.
Charlie McCarthy and
Ingrid Bergman.
Yeah, close enough. Edgar Bergen.
Oh, Edgar, whatever.
Yeah.
Shit. Stop laughing at me.
Does a pair of queens beat 3 deuces?
No.
The answer is yes in blackjack.
Oh, in blackjack.
Which obviously the multiple choice
would
have made that answer the obvious one.
Albert and the blank brass.
Tijuana.
Okay.
What the fuck? There's like some existentialist bullshit in here. What is this crap? Like... No, it's like some kind of Zen question. How many molecules are there in a glass of water?
The answer is as many as there are. I find computer
What's
games...
What's the sound of one hand clapping?
I find computer games with adult content acceptable. If a physician were on an island with Bo Derek, he would...
Thank God.
If Bo Derek were here, I'd ask her to... Stop playing computer games.
What the fuck?
It's not nice to fool Mother Nature. Joe DiMaggio played baseball. Lee Harvey killed John F. Kennedy. Muhammad Ali is a professional boxer. Peter Piker picked a pickle peppers. Sergeant Pepper was the leader of the Lonely Hearts Club Band. The largest state is Alaska. Yeah, these are a lot easier than I remember.
Which is non-alcoholic? Perrier. Which is not a cheese, Riesling.
Let's see.
That's a lot of questions they asked.
See, like this, I would love to know what the multiple choice was. Utah is full of, and the answer is none of the above. So, like,
some Mormons must not be.
Clearly, the comedy is lost to the annals of time. What's happening at St. Mary's Girls' School? Oh, virgins.
Which is not an American armed force, the National League. Oh. Who is buried in Grant's tomb? Oh, who was not a politician? W.C. Fields.
Wow. Okay. There may be some argument to be made against that, but sure, that's pretty interesting. I had no idea. I never encountered
I never even played the game, and I never saw that. So.
Oh wait, here we go. Here's some of the multiple choice stuff.
Okay.
All right, I'll ask you along with the multiple choice. Maybe it'll be less. Johnny Carson is a singer, Dave Letterman's sidekick, Ed McMahon's sidekick, or an actor?
Jesus.
Answer C, Ed McMahon's sidekick.
Yep. That's a very timely question.
Yeah. let's see. The East Coast is home of the Mets, a country where people talk funny, or adjacent to Texas?
This is where people
now
talk
I remember
funny.
Why these were hard. The home of the Mets.
I think C applies.
Yeah.
Depending on where you are, but you're from the West Coast, then C is definitely the answer.
Is this software pirated? A, yes. B, I'm not talking. C, no, how could you even ask? D, no, just borrowed. C. Let's see. Pia Zadora is A, sexy, B, a singer, C, short, or D, all of the above?
D.
All the answers were accepted. The world is A, flat, B, spherical, C, a big place, D, near Fresno. Spherical is accepted, but a big place isn't, so yeah.
See, I missed out on all this fun. I didn't play PC games. I was, from childhood, always console gamer.
Here's a good one. Do girls really have cooties? A, yes. B, no. C, some do, some don't. D, maybe.
I'm going to have to go with C.
The correct answer was no. Which?
Well, when you're a kid, the answer is yes. When you're adult and you know better, the answer is definitely some do, some don't.
I have been to Atlantic City.
Yeah.
I
live in Alabama.
All right, here we go. This was my favorite question. All right, sex is A, great, B, okay, C, a spectator sport, D, a mystery to me.
That's great.
I always wanted to put a spectator sport.
Would it have been accepted?
Huh?
Would it have been accepted?
No, great was the answer. The song American Pie was about... damn it. You pronounce that for me, James.
What is that?
Ha-ha! The hell is that word?
Holy shit, James doesn't know a word.
Miscegenation. Right,
miscegenation? Miscegenation.
Oh, yeah, never mind.
Okay, A, miscegenation. B, Marilyn Chambers. C, a dead rock star. D, 4 minutes too long. See, so many of these could have had more than one answer, but... Only one was accepted most of the time.
That's funny.
See, why can't we still have this as our DRM?
Yeah, really. OJ Simpson is, and remember when this was written, right? OJ Simpson is A, an R&B singer, B, under indictment, C, embarrassed by his first name Olivia, D, no one to fool with. D was the correct answer.
Had this that's released really a funny. Few years
that's,
later.
That's yes. pretty good.
Or just a couple years ago.
Yeah.
Okay, I'm sorry. Just one more.
All right, one more.
Ted Kennedy is best remembered for his A, driving, B, underwater freestyle, C, brothers, D, all of the above.
D.
All the answers
all
are
answers
correct.
All answers are correct.
God, that's underwater awesome. Freestyle.
Oh.
That's great. Does anybody remember where we were?
No. Well, we were talking about Quest for Glory.
Check Zero, yeah. Quest for Glory.
About that and mentioned right. Leisure Suit.
Well, if we want to get back on track, how about some StarCraft 2?
What, no land?
Yes,
no
please. Land.
How y'all feel about that?
I'm fine with it.
If StarCraft 2 doesn't have land, what else might not?
Diablo 3.
Does
I think that's probably
really?
At this point a four.
Are you going to shake your head and like, really? Like, that's shitty, dude.
Yeah, but, I mean, how many times do we get together at a LAN anymore?
Yeah, I'm just saying, like...
But now you don't have the option.
Yeah, now you don't have the option. And, I still know people. I still talk to people who invite me to Diablo LANs.
Oh, good
just
point.
Just because we don't do it doesn't really mean anything.
It's trivial to have LAN play if you've got net play.
It's, but...
And what they've said is that, yeah, we want to drive people to use Battle.net.
Yeah, that's exactly what it is.
We want to encourage people. No, you don't want to encourage them. You're forcing them.
Yeah. You want to send everybody into the penfold. And I mean, that's... I'm not even... I won't even say that's wrong. But it's very clear. Like, and I didn't care because I'm not a StarCraft II player. It doesn't matter to me. Immediately, I understood the impact on people who play StarCraft.
Yeah.
But for me, like, it hit home the heartbeat afterward where I was like, shit, if this doesn't have LAN play, then neither will Diablo 3. Mm-hmm. Which is very frustrating for me because I like LAN play. And I like to know that it's out there. I know that there are people championing, you know.
So is it they want people to use Battle.net that much, or is it what I suspect it is, a form of DRM?
Yeah, both. Why not both? I mean, why not both? Because I'm sure they plan on... I mean, you've seen... Well, no, of course you haven't. The way they've leveraged their entire... The whole Blizzard universe is being leveraged toward Battle.net.
Yeah.
Like, the things that were previously World of Warcraft-centric as far as logons and account management and information stuff is being married with the Battle.net stuff now. So, and you know, and I don't even blame them for trying to get everything under one roof. It smacks of, like, online imperialism, but that's because that's what it is. So it damn well better smack of it.
I don't mind online play being everything pushed to their central server to authenticate it and make sure everything's on the up and up.
But to the exclusion of something
To the exclusion of, yeah, LAN?
It just seems... It's sad is what it is. Yeah. Sadness is the kind of thing that occurs to me. So, yeah, I saw that. That was pretty bad. I knew it would not have an impact on me, but I knew that it would affect others.
Yeah. I wasn't buying StarCraft 2 anyway. I was never a StarCraft 1 guy. But
yeah. But again, when you look, it doesn't take long to realize, oh, I guess under no circumstances will I be doing this with Diablo 3. I mean, that's a big leap, but I'd say it's pretty clear what their intention is. Mm-hmm. So, I'm sorry to anybody that really enjoyed doing that. I'm sorry to the kinds of people who really just wanted to throw their boxes together in a basement room and play together. That's not going to be happening.
There's going to be a lot of upset Koreans.
Oh, jeez.
Yes.
It's true.
Over 90, maybe enough. Yeah, over 90% of the population still
plays. Did you think that Ruffin Iran last week?
Did you? You know what? And I don't know how. Well, probably because I didn't care. But like, you realize that, and this may not be the case, but at least as of days ago, Warcraft was still inoperable in China.
No, I didn't know that.
Yeah, you know that they don't run their own shit over there. It's run through another company.
Oh, okay.
Yeah. It's run through a proxy because of how things are done over there. There are different sets of rules, and it's not advantageous for Blizzard to directly run things. It's easier for them to appeal to the skills of another company who manages their software. Well, they migrated from basically one group of people to another. And I didn't follow closely or even from afar what really had happened, but the wheels came off at some point from this whole transition, and the game just was like not, it just didn't work in China, and they have not yet gotten it back up and running, which is, I mean, we made a lot of jokes about how much money these guys make month to month, but when you sort of leverage all the money that's coming in toward future development all the time, to have a sudden and pretty catastrophic loss of income from a segment that's as large as, I mean, I don't know what the Chinese player population is, but I know that like half the player base is,
well, to make up for
is
that,
in the East.
That's why you're going to start paying to change your faction.
You make jokes, my friend.
I understand. Yeah, I know.
But you're not wrong.
I thought it was a neat segue.
It is a neat segue. Did you guys read that?
No.
Maybe it'll mean nothing to you. I don't know. If you haven't spent time in there, it's whatever. I've talked a lot of times before, and I'll go ahead and say this is really the only MMO thing I have to say today, but it's a pretty big piece of news for the biggest MMO on the planet, so I'm going to mention it. They have, starting way the fuck back with, like, being able to pay to transfer servers, they started offering specific things you can pay to do for your character. It has always been the end of the game when they do it. Ever since we had 3 million subscribers, you know, and they allowed us to pay to move our characters from place to place, you know. Well, Blizzard's losing subscribers left and right, you know, so they got to do this to appeal to the, you know, the base of people that want to do this. Like, okay, that was at 3 million subscribers. And then they would do something else at, you know, 5 million, like, whatever. They always offer you these things that they had previously said they would never do. And it's always...
Speculation's always been...
This could be the end of the game.
Yeah.
Because the end is nigh.
Yeah. Yeah, always, always, always. Like, and it really isn't, because they put pretty tight constraints on things. And they charge a little more money than you want to pay. A simple name change is $10. A server transfer is $25.
Ouch.
Yeah, I mean, you got to mean it. You got to really, really want to do it. So you can't just
piss
all over your own name
and
then just run to another server and spend a month there and then do the same thing. Like, it's they have constraints on how often you can do it, and they will charge you out the ass, and that's part of...
It makes sense.
It's fine. It hasn't really caused any problems. Some of the big ones that people were concerned about was changing from being able to transfer from a PvE server to a PvP server. So you could level up to max level on an easy Care Bear server, and then transfer into a more hardcore PvP server. Whatever. Like, I haven't noticed any difference on either the PvE or PvP servers that I play on, so it's neither here nor there. I don't... But this is a big one. This is very, 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 very big. Because the one thing that always stood as an absolute was, like, this is your... You know, you can now pay to have a sex change. You can pay to completely rebuild your character's hair or their look or anything. Now at some point in the future, you'll be able to pay to migrate to the other faction. And people seem really split on, like, whether this totally ruins the game or whether it's a brilliant move. I don't know.
Hmm.
There's just a, you know, there's a lot of people that...
From what I was reading, you're not going to keep, like, you're not going to have your Horde character
on the Alliance side.
The Alliance.
A lot of people were...
An equivalent.
Yes,
as
a rough equivalent. Yeah.
A character.
Like, I have a Night Elf Druid. If I want to move to the Horde side, I would then have a Tauren Druid, because they're the only thing that can be a Druid, because you cannot change your class, merely your, you know, move to the other faction. Mm-hmm. I got a human mage, so, like, obviously, I would most likely become an undead mage. Or if I have a dwarf paladin, I have no choice but to be a blood elf paladin, because they're the only, you know, such like that. And then vice versa, if I had a... you know, there are multiple shaman races on the Horde side, but they would have no choice but to be a Draenei, you know,
okay.
Stuff like that. So, I mean, they haven't released the details, and they've been very clear about the fact that it is an extremely complicated thing to offer. But given the age of the game, I think it's actually a really good thing to do, because, you know what, you're level 80 now, and like, for me, a lot of my old friends have not... They don't play anymore where I play, but I meet some new guys somewhere else, say, who play Horde or who play Alliance, and I've got this inactive, you know, Alliance character that I wouldn't mind switching over to Horde rather than just leveling up another thing all the way to 80. I don't feel like investing that kind of goddamn time. I don't want to do that. It's not a bad idea.
Okay.
And Blizzard is usually really good about keeping decent constraints on this kind of thing. They don't really like to see it abused, even though they do like the... I mean, seriously? $25 to migrate my character from one server to another? You didn't do $25 worth of work.
Just click, click.
You didn't do 5 cents worth of work.
Yeah.
It didn't cost you anything. Like, some bandwidth, if that. And you just made $25 out of thin air. And I've done that a couple times. So, yeah, I don't know. I mean, I think it's great. I think it's perfectly fine. But it was a very interesting thing to see the reaction of a player base that massive when they talked about shattering something that had been that long held and considered... the very basis of the game. So, my suspicion, though, is, as a final note, that it's always the casuals that Blizzard is supposedly catering to when they make these decisions.
Not in this one.
I honestly don't think that's the case in this one. I think it's really the hardcore.
Yeah.
People who, because I read some, I decided to read the thread on the forums, a little bit of it. Jesus, it went to like 200 pages within an hour or two. I'm not kidding. And the number of people who were, like, intently going to become this race, whatever they were talking about, it all had to do with racial abilities. And the very, very minor advances or perceived bonuses You know, it's like, well, you got to be an orc for this reason, because, like, they're better than everything because of this racial. The undead had, you know, certain racials that made them supposedly overpowered, like, ridiculously, or, you know, things like that. So I honestly do think this is a major change being made for the hardcore.
Okay.
But I don't know.
Doc Finger sent us a tweet, said, which boycott will be bigger, StarCraft 2 because of the no LAN, or Left 4 Dead 2 because of its very existence? I haven't heard much on the boycott side of StarCraft 2 since this announcement of no LAN. Is
that it's a funny question. Momentum? I don't think it has anywhere to gather.
Yeah.
Not really. I mean, I think I could be wrong, but the Left 4 Dead, I mean, Left 4 Dead, it's not even a year old.
Mm-hmm.
Like, you could just keep playing Left 4 Dead. StarCraft 2 has been so long coming that I think it's going to be hard for anybody to really avoid moving on to it from StarCraft 1. I think it's just, it's, they've wanted it and waited for it so long that anybody who would really care would probably just go ahead with it anyway and deal with the new world order of Battle.net and just be about that.
Yeah.
And I see the point behind these boycotts. People feel betrayed or upset, but they're still going to buy the game.
Yeah.
We all know they're all going
to
buy it.
Yeah. That's what you have to get comfortable with. Like, be pissed. I'm pissed about all sorts of things that I roll over and take it up the ass on anyway. It's like, God damn it, I put my foot down last year about buying too many fucking games in November. So you know what? I'm going to go ahead and buy 5 games this November. God damn it. I'm pissed about it.
But next year.
But by God, next year you better not pull this shit again, because I might not.
What did we get a release date recently of?
Let's see, November 2nd, Bioshock. This is just November. Yeah. November 2nd, Bioshock 2. November 10th, Modern Warfare 2. And Max Payne 3.
That's right. Max Payne 3 was released
November 17th, Assassin's Creed 2. And Left 4 Dead 2.
Yeah. And Uncharted is probably in there somewhere.
Yeah.
Uncharted 2 is probably
in there. And that's to say nothing of the month before, which is Borderlands and... I mean, we kind of ease into it. August Batman, September ODST, which I really wish I didn't care about, but the videos look really good.
You hear
October's Borderlands, and then November is, you know, my wallet gets raffle stomped.
Yeah.
Pretty much everybody.
Yeah. It's a brand new tweet from Ravenlock.
Okay.
Unamazingness of the conduit notwithstanding, and really, I think I agree. I agree with. I just tweeted that, you know, your impressions of the conduit.
Oh, okay.
Ask James if he wants to throw down some multi.
Oh, yeah, because.
Gotta trade your codes, but...
Well, let me learn how to do that. And then I'd be glad to. Yeah, that would be fun.
Cool. Anyway, go ahead. You were saying...
Speaking of ODST, somewhat relating to that, Reach is... they're saying it might be Natal-enabled. What do you think about that? I mean, controlling a...
Well, my first thought is, you know, the using your arms and Reach pun...
Yeah, that's exactly where I was going. I was like, some asshole in a corner office somewhere, or, you know, he'll have one soon if he doesn't already.
Yeah.
I can see that marketing, I can see that canned video
yeah.
of, like, you know, Halo Reach and...
You're reaching
it feels,
for something.
Yeah. It sounds very Twilight Princess to me. Hey, we've got this game that's already in development. Let's tack on some motion control
yeah.
to it.
Yeah.
I don't, man, I don't know, like... There are only, like, a couple of things I could actually see, like, really ever wanting to do that with. Like, if I could, you know, if it was an RTS and I could, like, fucking pick dudes up and put them places
yeah.
with my Natal, I'd absolutely do that shit. But I'm not. I don't know. It's funny. I can sit here and shit on the combination of Halo Reach and Natal tech, but I don't even know what kind of game Reach is.
Yeah.
So... I mean, I don't. I don't know if it's a squad shooter, which is what it looks like.
Well, it's Master Chief in a field, and you come up to him, and you talk to him. Hey, how'd your day go, Master Chief?
Yeah.
I drew your picture, Master Chief. Here you go.
Did you do your homework?
And then he kind of looks down at his boots.
Yeah, I don't know. That's funny. That's really good. So who the hell knows? I think it's whatever. It was going to happen to something. And that's what Halo gets for still being around.
Yeah.
It's like, that's what you get. Like, this is time to pay the piper, my friend. by like being so deeply involved in the next most important step of the Xbox 360. Congratulations.
And while it didn't come instantaneous, like past things have come when we mention them and then they happen. Mm-hmm. Serious Sam.
Yeah.
Yeah.
What do you think about that?
We've talked about that a ton.
Yeah. What do you think about that?
Looking forward to it.
Well, I mean, I get excited for things, for retro things that come out on the arcade sometimes, because I'm like, this is a neat thing, and I'd like to see it and have it there, and it's fun. Mm-hmm. But this is more than just a straight turnaround. Like, it looks really good.
Yeah.
Like, the Serious Sam HD looks really good, and it is going to have the four-player co-op. And
you know, I never played Serious Sam.
The screaming guys with the bombs.
It was very simple. It was butthole simple.
I remember you guys going on and on about
it. It was just really, really fun to have a bunch of people. And just, you would shoot
everything.
There was nothing complicated or really even interesting about it. But, I don't know, didn't we get a price point-ish?
Oh, God, I'd have to wait.
Or were we guessing 15 bucks, something like that, 1,200 points?
I think that was the guess.
I'm kind of thinking, yeah, that's right, because we were there was the big thread where we were all debating, you know, 800 points is an absolute buy, 1,200 points is an absolute no-go. It's like, well,
1,200 is the new 800.
Yeah, it is. I mean, it is. But then
it's
again,
like 800 was the new 400.
1,200 points is your price. Yep.
But I would also argue that, in general, it seems to me like, you know, I'm gonna miss the mark here because I don't know exactly the right thing to compare it to. But 1,200 might be the new 800, but things on the order of Serious Sam as a complete re-release aren't the sort of thing we were seeing back in the days of 400 standards and 800 standards.
Mm-hmm. Right.
The standard for the size and the general weight of the thing being released has increased somewhat, so I think an argument can be made, but the real argument will be made when it's released. Do people buy it? Yes, no? I don't know. I mean,
just keep in mind that Microsoft often makes mistakes when they first put up the arcade games. So if there's ever a game that you're interested in that was always that was priced at $1,200,
wait,
get in there that morning and make sure that it's priced at $1,200. I picked up Lode Runner for $8, and it went back up to $12 by that afternoon. So
well,
check
all right.
It early and check it often.
I'll sort of juke to the side and sort of reference something else that I know we're going to talk about. We went to the movie on Sunday.
Yeah.
How much did we spend per person on the movie?
I don't know. I bought all your popcorn.
That's why I tried to. I tried to grant the per capita breakdown, but yeah, I knew you were going to have to bring that shit up.
It was $20 for our snacks alone.
$20 for our snacks, and then $15 for our combined tickets.
Yeah.
Did you
right?
See Transformers?
Yeah, okay. We did. Which
yeah, we'll move into that. We'll move into that later.
But I mean, okay. I wanted to give it like I give an example. Like all I did was bought popcorn and a soda and a ticket to a matinee. Right.
So for the two of us, we spent
Yeah, so it was like 18, it was like 18, 19 bucks a piece. That was like 18 bucks a piece.
Yeah, okay, the movie. I thought you meant all that other shit included.
Everything together. What was your cost for you? Shut up about how you bought my popcorn. It costs for one person to go to the movies with their popcorn.
About 20
and stuff.
Bucks.
No, it costs like 18 bucks, but whatever.
Sure.
The ticket plus 10 bucks. It was 20 bucks for our popcorn.
Okay, fine. Whatever.
I'm saying that's already more than like what you would spend on Serious Sam.
Yeah.
And for four people to go to the movies like that, and this is an old comparison, but I'm just saying, like, Serious Sam is no more, you know, hardcore video game than Transformers was, you know, 2001. Yeah. Like, it was what it is, man. So you gotta pay 15 bucks to, like, spend, like, two or three consecutive nights with your friends over Xbox Live, like murdering some stupid shit with bombs strapped to their hands, like
screaming at you. Yeah.
That was funny.
It was great.
It was funny. I would do that. I would totally, totally do that. If I would waste $18 to go see Transformers 2, wasn't, to be honest, and we will get to this in a second, not even remotely the waste I expected it to be. Yeah, I will absolutely spend that on Sam. And get a lot more for it, particularly for guys that didn't play it the first time. That'll be really fun to have Jeremy along and like
laughing his ass off.
Pick it up, but like run through this. It was great, man. Yeah. It was real good. It looks good. Gave it the HD treatment. I'm on board. So that's all I have to say about that. I like it. It's pretty good.
Yeah.
So
the other big news this week was the Bethesda's parent company buying
ZeniMax.
Yeah,
bought id. I don't know about that.
I don't either.
And it's talking about releasing all its games on the iPhone.
Yeah.
Yeah, Carmack's been jazzed about that for...
Oh, yeah, he's loving it.
A month or two now.
Doom was released today.
I heard
like
that.
Like, the new Doom, it's like takes place after Doom 3. So it's like Doom 3.5, I think.
Huh. Well, that's...
But,
I don't know what to say about that. I don't know. I don't have any understanding of what could possibly come from that arrangement. You know? It's not exactly the kind of thing where you have, like, a... We just mix them together, and you're like, this is the kind of games you'll have. Like,
well, according to Carmack, it means that, like, his company's free to just make games and technology and shit, and...
Not worry about publishing.
Right, and they'll deal with the publishing and distribution stuff.
Which, so it's a very practical arrangement.
That seems like a very Carmack kind of thing. That, you know, well, that's, I mean, all he
wants to... That's the only thing he's good at, is making technology. So he's not even especially good at making games, but he's very good at making technology, so he should just do that and let somebody else who's clearly better at production and distribution worry about those things. I mean, that's fine. So that's what you get. Maybe what you get out of this is more id games.
Yeah.
Instead of, you know, id Bethesda-type games. I don't know. I don't think that's really... Probably won't see much of any change. Not anytime soon, though.
And not to go back to something we totally left out, RJ, when we were talking about video games that we played... If you can move into a mic and tell us what you played, or just yell.
Yell, okay. Yeah, I played, I gave Fallout 3 another shot. A friend of mine explained the VAT system to me a little
system.
Better. So I'm finding it's a little more easier to go through battles now. So I gave that a shot, and I started exploring. So I started finding stuff all over the map. So I'll probably be going back to that for the rest of this week. I'm trying to finish that game out.
All right. No, man, you'll get to a point where, like, you hear something bad, you, like, hit that fucking VATS button. Like, you just hear something that sounds unpleasant. And you're like, shh. Or you can be, like, walking through a building just hitting that button. Mm-hmm. And, like, and it'll find something.
Yeah.
And it's like, ah, motherfucker, I'm behind that wall. I see your outline.
I guess, like, I guess when
that's
we
were your buddy.
You're playing, you didn't get into point.
I bought everything. I went ahead and bought everything that I didn't already own. So I now have all the DLC for Fallout.
Turns out Point Lookout is safe to play.
All right, I'll buy it.
Launched without a problem.
Yeah, that's really very strange.
Wow.
Yeah.
Did you play it?
No.
Okay.
No. Yeah,
I'm waiting for the game of the year.
Ah.
That's true.
No, I, you know, I already bought Anchorage and Pit. But, so I finally got Broken Steel. And I just went, I like, ignored the fact that I had already done a little bit, all of Anchorage and a little bit of the Pit. Mm-hmm. So, I just finished the game with the Broken Steel ending. Unlocked to 30, and figured I'll just go through Anchorage all over again in order to get the experience, you know. Which, I had heard reports that the gain was really, really horrible above 20, but it wasn't. I mean, I finished Anchorage and was about... I went directly to Anchorage after the end of the game and finished it with about two-thirds of the way to 22. So, that was acceptable. So, it's going to be a minute before I actually get into... I want to finish the Pit and then get into the new stuff, but...
How is Broken Steel without giving away too much?
I haven't done anything centric to the Broken Steel storyline.
Okay.
All it does is it gives you an ending that allows you to continue playing.
Okay.
Kind of like, boy, howdy, that was a close call. Good to see you're back up and around. We were worried for a second, but, well, there you go. Thanks a lot for saving us and whatever. Here's some experience. Basically all that happened. So that was all you needed to happen. And they gave you, like, some contacts to go get some quests from, who I promptly ignored and then went to Alaska. So
I'll probably be, I'll be getting a Point Lookout by tomorrow.
Yeah. That's really where I want to go. That's really the thing I want to play. I just feel obliged to, and I know I don't have to do this, but I feel obliged to play them in the order they were released. I don't know why.
Makes sense.
It's a defect I have, I suppose. But, yeah. I like the look of what's happening in Point Lookout. And I haven't heard anybody talking about it yet. So it's either really good and everybody's playing it, or it's nobody's bothered. So.
Are these DLC, they're 800 points?
They are 800.
Yep. Is it 800 points worth of content?
Anchorage, no. Pit, yes. I haven't played Broken Steel, but by all reports, it's very good and worth it. And haven't heard a thing about Point Lookout. Anchorage was absolutely not worth $10. You pay $10 for, like,
really cool
a
armor.
Sword and like...
I do like the stealth armor.
Yeah, I mean, it's great, but that's what you did. You paid $10 for that because
the gauze rifle.
It played Anchorage was a shooter. Anchorage was not Fallout. It was none of the really awesome RPG elements were intact. It was just a straight action game, and I have to admit, it really fails in that regard. So, it wasn't you know, if you find the 10 hidden cases, you get a perk. That's about it. You get a neat suit and some stuff and nothing more. So that's what you did. You paid 800 points for some horse armor. So.
All this DLC, is it just on the 360?
At the moment, it is. However, it is coming your way. They have finally made. They are going to make that stuff available starting next month.
Okay.
Starting with Anchorage and Pit, I believe.
Are they releasing them in the same order that they came out on 360?
So. Yeah, but they're doing them in on bundle discs.
Okay.
Where it's Pit and Anchorage.
Are they only on
one
disc, or will they be on the store too?
I think they'll be on the store too.
Okay.
But it's like it's coinciding with retail releases.
Okay.
So it's like Pit and Anchorage, and then Point Lookout and Broken Steel. I could be wrong about that. I might be wrong about some of that, but I think that's the case. Regardless, yes, actually, RJ, it is coming to the PS3.
Okay. Speaking of RPGs, we talked about this last Friday, or last Tuesday, because the announcement was supposed to be made Friday, but the Mass Effect DLC?
Yeah.
Just nowhere right now.
Yeah.
If nothing was mentioned, it was just, they took back whatever it was
they
said.
I'd like to hear about that. I'd like them to make that, and then I'd like them to give me the game.
And then worse news for Mass Effect 2 was that...
No New Game Plus.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That's really raunchy of them to do that. Like,
it seems like the more we learn about Mass Effect 2, the more it's like, I don't understand any of
it. Not that I want to play it any less, but I don't...
Trying to figure out where they're coming from.
Well, because they're saying... Basically, they were saying that they want the end of 2 to dovetail perfectly into the beginning of 3. So it sounds like their intention is to have the move from 2 to 3 be what they were bullshitting us the move from 1 to 2 would be. They want you in a specific place with a specific type and amount of gear. But that still doesn't hold water for all the same reasons that this doesn't, that we can't do it from 1 to 2. I don't see them building the beginning of 3 for people who finished 2. I don't see that. Nobody does that. You know what I mean? Maybe as an option, but if it's an option, then it's not critical. And if it's not critical, then the ending of the previous game or the end state is not critical. Therefore, let me have a New Game Plus mode. Although, for what it's worth, I thought that the New Game Plus mode wasn't a very interesting thing in the first game because on a second playthrough, I don't want to play as the same class.
Yeah.
New Game Plus would have been, like, super amazing awesome if somehow I could have just moved into another class, but that was the whole, for me, that was what was so interesting. I was pure soldier the first time, and the second time through, now that I have a really good grasp of how all these things work, I want to try something different. So to go through a second time as soldier, I was like, that bores me. I don't want to do that. It was good for my first time, not for my second. So
I agree.
Maybe not that big a loss. I don't know. Whatever. We'll see. I mean, we'll see. Maybe I'll just take
the metaphor. I'm actually kind of glad I don't have to play the second one on the 360. You know, because if they had actually gotten the importing the character shit right in the second game, I would have had to have played it on the 360.
Oh, right.
Because I still have, you know, my save game and all that shit from the first one. Because I was told, hey, yeah, keep save, that
yeah,
shit
no,
around.
It's gonna matter.
You're going to need it. Not so much.
That awesome pencil-thin mustache you sculpted onto the face of Shepard, like, you need to import that over. That's basically what we're letting you do. No. So, you going to PC?
I think I'm going to play it on the PC.
Yeah, I think I'm going to do the same. Yeah. I'm going to do the same. Now that it's getting a day-and-date launch with the console version.
Yeah,
if that was not the case, I would play it wherever the hell it came out first.
That's right.
So, whatever. It's okay. It's not that big a deal.
Worms 2 Armageddon got released on Xbox Live Arcade.
Tomorrow.
Yeah. By the time they hear this, though.
That's pretty cool.
Yeah, by the time they hear it.
Matt, sorry, you're the live in the past guy, not the live in the future guy. don't go changing your role now.
But it's a past game.
No, Worms 2 Armageddon is a new game. It's a sequel to Worms Armageddon.
Yes, it would be, wouldn't it? Yeah. Which is an old game.
That is, yes, it is a sequel. That sequels generally are sequels to old games.
I like the original. I mean, I don't know if you guys played Worms.
Around.
I'll make it work somehow, damn it. But I don't know if which of you guys played the Worms on the Xbox Arcade, but I enjoyed it. I had a good time.
I played it a lot.
I played it. It was a little too simple for me. I have to say that Worms Armageddon was always my favorite.
Okay.
So I'm kind of jazzed about a sequel to that.
With the new one with more weapons, with holy hand grenades and super sheep and all that.
Hopefully there'll be some people up for, blowing me up.
I think I could be down with that.
The first Worms on Xbox was basically the first Worms ported, right?
If it was, then they gave it a massive visual overhaul.
Right.
But yeah. I don't know. I never played the first Worms, so.
Really?
That's
the only one I ever played.
Yeah. Really?
It's the only one I ever played was the first Worms.
I thought you didn't like the first Worms.
No, he liked the first Worms.
No. Like the original Worms.
Where they looked like Worms?
Yeah, that was the only one I liked.
Oh, okay.
That shit was great.
I thought it was Worms 2 that you liked.
Mm-mm.
Okay.
I liked Worms 2.
Okay. Like, everybody here likes it. You're Worms 2. I'm Worms Armageddon.
Yeah.
That's weird. Scott?
Scott's never played Worms.
Where do you stand on Worms?
I didn't like it. when I played it, I was like, wait, isn't this that tank game I used to play?
Scorched Earth?
Yeah.
Earth. I love Scorched Earth.
Yeah, but your tanks didn't go, no!
When you jumped into the water. And the weapons, like, obviously, holy, didn't have sheep or anything like that going on. So yeah, that was different. But I think I didn't play it with anybody at the time.
Oh, yeah, you got to play it with people.
Yeah.
I never played it with anybody.
I would play, I would play Worms 1 with, 16 people. I would set the game to where, because we played on the PlayStation, first PlayStation. I would set it to where everybody got one worm. And we would have, 16 fucking people passing the controller around.
In the days when I was running shows and shit at the theater, we had Worms installed on all our computers. So there'd be, a guy in one theater... running sound or lights, playing a team of Worms. A guy in the other theater running the other show, who had, a team of Worms. Two guys down in the basement on their computers playing teams. And we set the time up as long as we could go. Sometimes you have to be waiting on your cue before you could go. So 30 seconds would tick by. But you still have a minute left to make your move. That's good times.
It was good times. That's good
One
stuff.
Of my favorite ways to kill someone is, it's hard to do, it didn't happen that often, but if they're right at the very edge, mm-hmm. you just inch up to them and just poke them, and they fall right in the water.
That should never work.
No, it didn't never work.
I did that a couple
I had
times.
More, dude, I had more success with
baseball Batman.
Convincing people to make bad moves. Particularly when you were I would be again, I played on the PlayStation, I'd be like, what are you trying to do? No, you press triangle. And then the worm would jump in the water.
Okay, good. It's my turn.
Yeah, that's exactly what I would do. Because every time I would try to poke them with the stick, it would be boop, and they would just hop forward a little bit.
I was that's why they have to be at the very, very edge.
Yeah, really?
Yeah, really. I kid you not. It's great when it works, though, because it's so embarrassing.
No, the baseball bat.
Well, it's great you got that pixel-perfect eyesight.
That's why he's in the military.
I was like, man, he could not get any closer to the edge. I'm going to poke that fucker, and he's going to fall in the water. It's going to be awesome. And I'd poke him. And it'd be like nothing happened. Fuck.
Baseball
and then
bat.
He'd turn
baseball
bat me off the thing.
It's Worms 2 this week. Next week, Battlefield.
Next week is Battlefield.
Next week
is it?
The 9th.
9th, okay. Jesus fucking Christ.
Yeah, we're in July.
Okay, you're right.
Yeah, Battlefield 43.
All right, well, there go some points.
Yeah. How much are they charging for that? $1,200 again?
I
think it's running.
I never even remember hearing the final price. I had assumed that it would be big points,
16,
15.
I had supposed
15.
It to be.
Did you just say 15? What have you ever seen anything for 1,500 points?
Did you mean $15?
I don't know what the hell I mean anymore.
Well, it's just because we joked, man. It's going to be 1,500 points.
Show all you fuckers.
Mech gets blown up in Iraq. I'm going to listen to this and cry over a glass of wine or something.
1,200?
1,200 points.
That's a pretty good price, I think.
Yeah.
I'm going to buy it.
Oh, I'll get that one, too.
Well, because they put the whole community hook in it. It's like... We can unlock this extra map here.
Cool sea challenge,
If you guys just get out there and kill each other. You see that? There's whatever the thing is.
43 million kills.
That's awesome.
We'll unlock a new map.
That's pretty... very curious how long that's going to take.
Yeah.
That's like Nobi.
2 hours later.
Yeah, it is. It absolutely is. Only with kills. And the internet's far better at killing things.
Than stretching things. Well, and I don't know.
There go the jokes. There they go. They write themselves. This is the internet we're talking about here. Just grab your dick and double click.
All these guys unzip their flies. Oh, yeah.
I got to see that show, by the way.
Did you? Oh, wasn't it great?
Yeah, it was
really
good.
The funniest play I've ever seen.
Awesome. It came to Birmingham not all that long ago. So.
All right, so any more news here?
We're done.
Okay, moving on to Transformers Twitter or email.
Transformers. I'm curious. All the reviews I've heard have just been bad.
Who's seen it in the room?
I have not seen the whole picture. I saw the trailer, and that filled my explosion quota for the month.
Yeah, no, it did. Like, I think Scott and I were in kind of the same place about it. We were having a conversation in the car. I got it because Scott picked me up, and I sat down in the car, and he's backing out of my driveway. I was like, why are we doing this? Nobody anywhere has said anything good about this movie anywhere. Like, this is the worst thing ever, and we're going to go blow, like, you know, $20 a piece to see this fucking movie. And he's like, yeah, I know, we gotta go. I was like, I know. What the fuck are we doing this for? And it was the reason that I couldn't be waved off of it is I read a number of proper reviews. I'm not talking about like what other movie people said or what other friends or online personalities said. Proper reviews. And a goodly number of them said it was horrible, particularly since the first one was so enjoyable and great. You know what I mean? Like, not that the first one was the greatest ever, but almost all of them cast the first one in a pretty great light. I really, really did not like the first movie. Beyond the whole, rape of my childhood toy fantasy. I didn't like it as a movie. I thought it was just awful and clunky, and it didn't flow well, and it was just nasty. So I was like, okay, clearly I cannot trust your judgment on the first film. So I can't out of hand just dismiss the second film based on your review. Also, it's Transformers. We'll go see it. Putting it as short as I can, I did not mind that I spent my money on it. Okay. Far from coming out pissed off, I was like,
I didn't come out pissed off. We just came out with like questions.
Yeah, it's like, but it wasn't
why
like
did this happened.
I wasn't pissed, and it was funny. Like Randall, when we all like at
yeah,
the very
he told
end,
me
it's
last
like,
night.
Oh, I was like, oh, what the fuck? There's Randall again, completely unscheduled. So, and as always, he had like a perfectly insightful comment about like this thing, but. It wasn't a good movie. I don't want to indicate in any way that it was a good film. There was easily 45 minutes of shit they could have cut out.
Yeah, how long is
it? It's like two and a half hours.
That's too many robots.
150 minutes.
Yeah. You know what, though? To be very specific, it was too many people.
Yeah, I was going to say, that's not necessarily a lot of
about
robots.
The first one.
Yeah.
People tell me the first one, there's too many people, not enough robots.
Yeah.
And then I've heard people say about the second one, there's too many robots.
There are too many robots, but there's also too many people. There is a there is a section, for example, this whole goddamned, horrible time when he goes off to college, right? Like, the benefit, I will say, to this film is that you don't... Origin is a tough thing to deal with. You have to tell the origin if it's the first time you're rebooting or telling a story. So you have to spend, half the fucking film teaching people how to understand in a new way. Everybody knows what Iron Man is, but nonetheless, we have to spend 45 minutes teaching you about this Iron Man before we can get on to the business of Iron Manning things. it's the same thing in Transformers. Like, everybody knows what Transformers are, but we're completely changing everything, so before we can transforminate, we have to, tell you for half the film how it works. And that's what you do in the first one. So, In sort of a really blessed turn, I felt like, okay, well, we're right into it. Like, I know that Bumblebee talks with his AM/FM radio, I know that Prime is has this overblown superiority complex. I know that this guy is this thing and this guy is this thing, and there you go. I don't have to learn about these people and these robots. They can just do what they've got to do. So that was fine. And then he goes off to college, and apparently the chick from Terminator 3 shows up. And has a tail.
That's a great way to put it.
Yeah. And, like, harasses the shit out of him for a while. Like, for no reason. I mean, and seriously has, like, a giant Transformer tongue that she tries to stick in everybody for, like, 30 minutes. And then there's this thing at the beginning where there's, like, these two dogs humping each other.
Yeah,
in, like, three different scenes. And then a robot humps the girl.
Humps a leg, yeah.
And it's like, I don't know. Maybe that's funny. I don't know if it's funny. I don't think it's funny. Maybe it's, like,
I'm sure people that find Bumblebee pissing on some guy's head will find that funny, too.
It's like, it would have been funny because he's, like, a little transforming, like, the old Bigfoot remote control toy. Like, the little RC, you know, Bigfoot truck.
Yeah.
Like, it would have been funny if it made the little RC motor noise when it was humping her leg. But it didn't really do that. He had, like, a voiceover. And it's like, whatever, man. It just
the only blessing came from his name.
Yes.
Which is weird.
And it's really funny, because on the way there, we were bitching about, like, you know, stupid Wheelie from the original movie. And, like, it turns out that this stupid little fucking thing is Wheelie. And I was like, well, okay. That's But, again, I couldn't hate it. Like, I would have to care.
Which is odd, because I kept wanting to call him RC.
Yeah.
Since...
Yeah, he is radio controlled.
He's an RC truck.
Yeah.
But...
And it was just... It was all... I mean, it was all over the goddamn place, man. And there's no excuse to this day still for filming all fight scenes in shaky cam. Especially when everything in the shot is manufactured digitally. You don't need to do quick edits on bad actors who can't fight in order to make it look good when the bad actors who can't fight are digital things created out of whole digital cloth. You can make it look as good as you want. And I know you're trying to... It's a film technique, but it's not a good one. So there was a lot of that. And when you add in the thing that the robots themselves are just a confusion of parts, they don't look like anything. They look like a huge mess of iron filings. I can't be interested in the scene. The only thing that I thought was all that was at all good was the scene in the forest when they were fighting.
Mm-hmm.
I thought, I was like, okay, it's still very confused. There's too much breakup with the trees and everything, but it looked giant robots fighting in the woods. Great. So there was I didn't hate it, man, and I hate a lot of things. It doesn't take much for me to hate anything. My conversion of energy from like observation to hate. It's very efficient. It's like fucking fusion. I can hate with very little input. But I didn't even have that much interest in the movie. Like, it was stupid. Like, the mom ate some pot brownies while they were at college. Because apparently everybody sells pot brownies on the quad. Like, no, they don't. I know where they sell them, and they don't sell them on the quad. And they really don't put a giant sticker of a pot leaf on the Ziploc bag. And even if they did, when you ate them, you wouldn't run around like you were on X. She was going insane. She would have just sat in the corner and licked her fingers for half an hour. Like,
that whole scene, that whole part of the film. Could have had no.
Yeah, and it just and it was too much human, and it didn't really.
It didn't do anything.
The whole point was so that girlfriend could catch him on the bed with Transforminator chick,
trying to stick her tongue.
Stick her tongue, and it's like, oh, let's create some drama here. Whereas he clearly could have brought up, she has an 8-foot long metal tongue, and she's an evil alien robot from outer space. Maybe you could not harsh on me for like cheating on you. While we're in the middle of a galactic, you know, apocalypse, maybe. But no, they had to have that whole thing. And then there was, like, the roommate guy who apparently got to tag along, which is like, what the fuck did you do but build a website, you know? And it was just weird. It was pointless. The whole thing could have gone away and it would have been fine. And the rest of the movie, while stupid, was just...
My favorite part, which is actually my most questionable part, and I think you know what I'm talking about, James, anyway, there's a scene. If you go see the movie, look for the scene where they're in the Smithsonian.
Oh, Jesus. Okay. And this, there was so much promise in this scene. There was like really, I actually found myself very interested. There was there was apparently a whole, there was a group of robots that were sent to Earth. The whole thing is based around a premise that I actually enjoyed much more than the first film. The premise held water. And it was about the fact that the Primes had visited Earth tens of thousands of years ago. And that one of the... I mean, this is sort of spoilerish, but for seriously, it's Transformers 2. that the whole point is that they had a mechanism. That Energon was not simply naturally occurring. It was created through the consumption of main sequence suns or certain types of stars. So they would travel around, find these stars, land their fucking Energon-making machine on a planet somewhere, turn it on, run away, and it would, like, obliterate the sun, but in the process of, like, consuming its energy and turning it into, I don't know, red dwarf or whatever, they weren't that specific, it would create a bunch of Energon, and it would disrupt shit, so the rule was you never do this anywhere where there's life. Mm-hmm. Well, they were apparently so hard up for Energon that one of these primes, like, the guy who's the true asshole in this film, you know, they came to Earth, and they were going to consume our sun to do this. And they were like, oh, shit, there's a bunch of guys here. Well, damn it, we can't do this. And he was like, fuck you, I'm doing it anyway. And they turned on him, and it was this whole thing, and it turned into a whatever. So they'd been here for a long time. And among those that had come here deep in our past, there were other Transformers, like Pathfinders. And the stupid little leg-humping robot, like, helped them identify. He was, like, looking at pictures, you know, and he was like, "We're, you know, I haven't seen these guys in forever." And it was, like, a picture of, like, a Model T and, like, the Wright Flyer and all this other stuff. And I was like, I'm really interested in seeing a Model T transform into a Transformer. Like, this is going to be fun, you know? Like, I think I might have some fun with this. And, you know, he shows them on a map of, like, basically there's a bunch of them, they're dormant. That's mm-hmm. why you haven't heard, they're completely dormant. And he was like, you know, shining light on the map where they were, locations where they were, and I was like, that kind of fascinated me. I believe that they were totally random, mm-hmm. but I want to believe that they were referencing certain things in the real world, you know? But anyway, the closest one to where they were was at the Smithsonian in Washington. So they go into the Air and Space Museum in the Smithsonian.
Which, again, is in Washington, D.C.
We need to be careful about illustrating this point. It is in the middle of Washington, D.C.
I've been there.
Yeah, I have too. I played Fallout. I know exactly where this motherfucker is.
Or at least what's left of it.
Yeah. So, they go there, and, like, they find Jetfire, who's an SR-71, which makes no goddamn sense. And he's, like, old. I mean, this dude is, like... He's an old Transformer. He's like hobbles around, then he has fucking cane, mm-hmm. you know, which is really weird. And he like talks like a pirate for some goddamn reason. So he's like 50,000 years old, but he's a plane that's really not that old, and he talks like a pirate. So while you're distracted by that, he's sort of hobbling around in like farting parachutes, and. Notice the look on my face. He really was farting parachutes. And he's, like, sort of ignoring everybody and being crotchety and, like, breaks out, like, through the hangar door and stuff. And suddenly, we're in New Mexico. You know where, like, the fields of disused aircraft are?
Yeah.
Like, one of those things. It was, like, this giant
ongoing... They don't
reference
that they're in New Mexico. They just walk out...
They walk out a door.
They walk out a door.
And they're in this field. And he's walking through these fields of old airplanes.
Yeah, the plane graveyards.
Yeah. And it's like, dude.
A boneyard.
Like, you're still inside the beltway, motherfucker. Like, where do you think you are? Like, what the fuck is this? And we were all like, what the fuck is going on? Like, what is happening here? You're in Washington, D.C. Like, inside of a museum.
That's my favorite part. Just watch for that part when they're in the Smithsonian.
It was really absurd. And then they go through this whole thing where he basically teleports everybody to Egypt. And it's like, clearly you can go to places that you weren't just at, and like, that's cool and everything. And maybe you should have put that somewhere between leaving the Air and Space Museum and appearing in Arizona or New Mexico or wherever they were. It was just weird. It was a weird incontinuity. And there were some of those in the film. It was like, why is this happening now? Like,
there's a lot of those.
Yeah. I was just, honestly, I was really disappointed that they didn't do more with, like, these ancient guys. You know?
Yeah.
I was like, I wanted, well, I mean, he didn't have to be Jetfire necessarily, but if they were going to have an old airplane, a dusty old Transformer airplane, like, they even panned by the Enola Gay. The camera went right past it, and it's like, How are you not going to do that? That would be so perfect. Like, the tie-in to, like, how the Transformers are so concerned about our self-annihilation or our tendency towards self-destruction. Like,
yeah.
How could you? It's right there. Oh, well, his name's Jetfire, so he's got to do that. Whatever. It just would have been more interesting, you know? So he came out of the movie being like, God damn it, how come it couldn't be like the Spruce Goose or something, you know? Which isn't even in Washington, by the way, but whatever. So stuff like that. A lot of missed opportunities, you know? Okay. I mean, maybe it's just as gimmicky as anything else, but I really wanted to see that Model T transform.
A guy that I work with, he loved the first one. He thought it was like, oh, one of the best movies. Oh, it's so great. And they all think I'm weird because I'm like, no, it's a piece of shit.
Yeah, I didn't like,
what do you mean? Oh, Megan Fox. I'm like, no. It's called The Transformers, not Megan Fox's boob show.
Well,
but he said, well, this one, yeah, that's all right, but she was great. I'm like, I'm not going to see it because of her. I couldn't care less about her. See, I want to see robots.
Have these people heard of the internet? There's a lot of tits on
yeah,
there.
Exactly. She's on a lot of it, I'm sure.
Well, and she's like, okay, she's Megan Fox, and I'm not going to say there's anything wrong with that, but it's like,
Transformers.
There's kind of a lot of that out there. I'm not saying that's bad, but it's like, if I don't, look, man, I don't rev up my inner fucking nerd to go see her. Like,
no.
You know. Like, I'm a grown guy. I know where to see those things, man. And I know how to do that. That's fine. You know, both virtually and veritably. I can see those things. That's fantastic. Terrific. What I'm doing here is, like, you know, resurrecting my inner child for a minute to go see a bunch of robots.
Yeah.
So I don't necessarily need the two of them together. So it's like, okay, she's there, whatever, that's fine. Again, I got to say it's kind of hard to totally hate Shia LaBeouf because he's, for whatever it's worth, the dude actually has some good comedic timing. He knows how to handle, like, comedic lines.
He knows how to handle the word no.
Yeah.
Not so much in this one, but yeah, that's what you're talking about.
He's fine, and there were some robots and stuff, and they carried
All right, so I want you to tell me about the Transformer testicles that I've heard about.
Actually, it was not that big a deal. You wait the whole fucking movie because it's like, I'm going to see fucking Transformer balls. I'm going to see goddamn robot balls somewhere, and then I'm going to make a big deal out of them, and it's going to upset me. Because now I'm waiting for the whole movie to see fucking robot balls. And it's like, it was Devastator. He's climbing up, you know, one of the pyramids. And, like, you know, because he's made up of construction things, it's like there's two wrecking balls hanging where, roughly where his crotch is. Which would make more sense if he was even remotely humanoid-shaped. But he's not. Like, again, like every other Transformer in the movie, he's a ridiculous confusion of parts. You know? He's the one that eats all our sand.
Yeah, he's the one that eats the sand.
And, like, I almost liked him for a minute because he ate one of the Jive Bots. But then he didn't. I was like, you can't even eat a fit? The fit is go, motherfucker. Like, and you can't even eat one? Like, your whole job is to eat things, and you can't eat one of these guys without it punching through your head? Like, what the fuck, man? This is the stupidest little robot ever invented. And your whole job is to be a giant, terrifying thing that eats things and takes, no bullshit, 45 minutes to climb out of a quarry and up the pyramid. And you can't even eat a stupid little 1,500-pound car. Fuck you. You know? Obviously, you don't have very big balls. So, I don't know. Whatever. It wasn't that big a deal. It was like John Turturro looks up, and there's two giant robot balls. And he's like...
All right.
Whatever.
There it is.
And then they shot it with the rail gun that they chose to apparently only use once.
Was there indeed a lot of spinning?
Yeah.
Holy shit, that's the one... We were driving back, and I was like, there's something that happened early in the film that I wanted to... I talked to you about, but I can't remember what it was.
It was spit everywhere.
Oh, spitting? I thought you said spinning.
No, spit.
No, there was fucking spit everywhere.
I wanted to talk to him about that spinning scene with, like, it was Shia and Megan there when they, like, at the back at his house at the very beginning of the film when she's trying to make him say I love you and shit like that. Camera just kept going the fuck around those. I was like, Jesus Christ, this is getting sickening. I don't get sick on those things, but that.
But it's like, where's a robot? Bring a robot out here real quick.
But yeah, spitting, yeah.
It was a lot of it. I don't know.
Just character spit?
No, the robots.
Robots.
They They are the most...
They're all Daffy Ducks.
Yeah.
Oh, God.
They're like copious, ridiculous amounts of...
Sartre!
Whatever it is.
I'm bothered enough by the fact that these robots have mouths that move.
Yeah, that's unpleasant.
They spit from...
Yeah, yeah.
It's, okay, I would hate this movie.
It is... I gotta tell you, though, it's a spectacle and a half. This shit was actually fun to watch, and it wasn't even a good movie. And I didn't even go to hate it. I was just like...
As soon as the Rift Tracks guys get a hold of it,
yeah.
I might
oh
sit
my
down.
God.
I need to sit down and watch theirs for Transformers.
I tried. I can't. I can't sit through that movie again.
I felt this. I tried to watch the Rift Tracks of Batman and Robin.
Yeah.
Again.
It was tough.
Batman and Robin?
That was
a really bad movie.
I think it... Yeah. It'd have to be a bad movie that I've never seen before, I think. I don't think I could sit through something that I despised that much, even with their great commentary on it.
So yeah, I don't know. It was a thing, and there's still a thousand things left to, like, you know, they killed Prime, but like not really, and like his death was stupid. It wasn't, you know. Scott and I were talking on the way to the movie, like, and I have not seen the original animated film in a long time. And I know I don't
set up another viewing of that.
Yeah, and I don't. I know I'm not looking at it through rose-colored glasses because I know there was a lot of shit that was stupid. All the stupid humor with the Dinobots and the stupid wheelie thing, and there was a lot of really ridiculous stuff that I thought was fantastic when I was a kid. It was a flawless film when I was 11 years old. Yeah. You know.
Well, hell, even I liked Batman and Robin as a child.
Yeah, but like I do think that some of it actually. Does hold up thematically. I thought it really, really did hold up, you know, in a way that these films just don't even have themes. Like, I don't know, man. Like, one of the things that bothered me about this movie, again, thematically or in terms of plot, is that Megatron was like, he was basically working for this other Prime. They bring him back, and he's basically this evil Prime's whore. Mm-hmm. He's not in thrall to him. He's not under his control. He's just his whore.
So it's not like Galvatron was to Unicron.
Dude, like,
so
Unicron
was basically behaving in a very un-Megatron fashion.
Yes. Yeah. And, like, yes, Galvatron was Unicron's whore, but that's because he split his head open when he tried to do his... Dude, a giant planet threatened to eat him in the face, and he was like, dude, fuck you, man. Like little scrappy dog kind of anger. Like, fuck you, giant planet. You're a giant planet. You're going to eat my face. But I don't give a fuck.
Puppy power!
Yeah. Because I'm fucking Megatron. Nobody tells me what the fuck to do. Not even giant planet-eating planets. Man, fuck you.
And then Unicron was like, all right, well, then I'll kill you.
Yeah.
And then when the pain set in, he's like, all right.
I'll
play along for now, and then I'll try to stab you in the back, not realizing he wouldn't be able to stab him in the back later.
But like, that's not at all how it worked in this film. He was just this thing's bitch. And I was like, isn't your head going to split open like when you try to, like, why haven't you tried to betray anybody yet? Like, it was just totally pointless, but I don't know. I was just happy that they talked. I mean, it really was. I was happy that there seemed to be a lot more... I don't know. I liked that there was no setup and that it was all stuff happening, even if the stuff was questionable, you know. And I wanted all the stuff in the middle to go away, but I didn't get angry about it.
The
ending was hokey and stupid, but
the implementation of Soundwave was good.
It was good, yeah. It wasn't. You know, what are you scared of? That he's actually going to be like?
I'm not saying that's going to change your mind on anything.
No.
I'm just saying it was nice. Frank Welker. Soundwave sounded like Soundwave.
Yeah. The only place I want to go from here is like.
Was he a jet?
Soundwave?
Yeah.
No. He was a...
orbital satellite.
Yeah.
Okay.
All I really wanted... What I found myself wanting was, okay, you gotta make another one? Fine. I want giant things to transform. Devastator was really tiny. I mean, he was huge, but he was like, that's too small. Like, I want that aircraft carrier they're on? Yeah, that shit needs to transform.
There's Astro Train.
Yeah. Give me some fucking Astro Train. That submarine that you blew up... Why'd you blow it up? Spend the money you spent animating the explosion and make it transform. I don't care. Your movie's already fucking stupid. Just pick all the biggest things on planet Earth and make them transform.
Just, you know, watching that little bit with the Rift Tracks again, like, the transformations do not impress me at all.
They're not good.
No. Like, I watched Bumblebee transform, you know, from robot into car. I'm like, he just kind of...
shimmers and wiggles
into
and,
being a car.
Yeah, like, you know what it looks like? You know what it reminds me of? It reminds me of that shit when you eat somebody in Prototype. It's like... Now I'm a robot.
But you don't actually see where anything goes. Yeah. It just... It's like a bunch of shit folding up or unfolding, and then there's the thing.
However much you need it to. Yeah, yeah, it's like it can disappear into nothingness and then evaporate behind a windshield.
Yeah.
Like, it's... I don't think there's any intelligence behind how they were... And like I said, this movie is just as bad. Everything is still just an enormous confusion of things. There's very little evidence of what the thing itself is supposed to be.
But like, so. I knew coming out, I didn't give a damn about it. The only thing, I'm not even upset that there's another movie out, except that it means that like for 9 months I have nothing to look at in the toy aisle but movie toys.
Yeah.
Really ugly movie toys. You know, it's going to be a while before there's real Transformer toys out there again. So.
Hey, it's just, yeah, it was.
And then I get to do it again when the third one comes out.
Yeah. So. Did they make the sound at least?
No, not really.
You saw the first.
Yeah,
twice? They made the sound one time in the first one.
I thought it was twice.
It popped up on the helicopter.
They made it one time in this one,
and it was
too.
In a very bad place.
Yeah.
It was actually in the worst place they could possibly have done it. It was when...
Ravage
puked a bunch of ball bearings down a pipe, and the ball bearings all transformed into little things, which sort of oozed together into another thing, and that's when they made the noise. And I was
wow, that's great.
Yeah, that's really stupid.
You know, this conversation's worthwhile just to see Jeremy like almost cry.
I don't care. There's no more torture now than there was before.
Yeah.
I'm not even here to browbeat the film. I'm just like, I didn't care. I just
10 years from now, somebody else will get to make a Transformers film. Maybe that one will be good.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Nope.
Was there a new G.I. Joe trailer? Or is it the same one? Okay.
Same one.
Oh, God.
I know. I'm going to see it. Whatever. I will probably be angry about that one.
There was that 2012 teaser.
Right. I think we kept getting images of that confused with when we were trying to leave and talk about what else was coming out or something. There was something about that where, like, a lot of the imagery from 2012 I felt belonged in the movie we had just watched.
Oh, in Transformers, yeah.
So.
All right.
That's it for that.
On to Twitter.
I need to be fast about Twitter.
Well, unfortunately, we have a lot of Twitters. Let's see. Restless Avenger just finished the Dark Knight riff tracks after hearing the interview that in-game chat had with them. That was quite a lot of fun. Glad you enjoyed that. Did any of you guys finish Lost Odyssey? We went into that. GT Chris, anyone hyped for the still-rumored PS3 Slim? Seems like my chance to finally jump in and enjoy some PS3 games.
Yep.
There is that rumor that...
I bet it's going to happen.
...just happened, that just came out.
It seems kind of soon.
Taiwanese firms awarded the PS3 Slim manufacturing contracts.
Except for... Well, yeah, it does seem soon. I just think that they got to get off their ass and make something... that they can deliver cheaper. They've got to do it. They've got to make it affordable
for
people.
What seems soon is that they're saying they're going to go into production next month and have them in stores in August.
Oh, you mean like the turnaround.
Right. Yeah, okay. And they haven't even officially announced.
Yeah, that does seem...
You're right. No, you're absolutely right about that.
So that's the part of the story I don't believe. Yeah, I mean, it's August. Sony. They're going to make it smaller and put it out in stores.
Yeah.
I just don't see it being that soon.
Yeah.
They need to do it before the holiday. They really do. They'll lose they'll lose the entire point of when are you going to deliver more systems? You're going to deliver them during the holidays. So if you're going to drop your price, you need to do it before the holidays to take advantage of the number of units you're going to be able to move. So
they're going
to
put them out that soon. Why wouldn't they show it at E3?
That I think is the best question. And I don't know. They're weird about that sort of stuff.
I mean, that would have been a good, you know, one more thing at the end of their conference.
Yes, it would. Yes, it would. I don't know.
No, sure. Spigot tweets to us. He tweeted earlier about when we were talking about JRPGs. He said he hopes someone brings up the this guy's name's series. Shin Megami?
Shin Megami Yes. Tensei?
Yes.
Yeah.
Call it Megaten.
Okay, yeah. Persona, Nocturne, Devil Summoner.
Yeah.
Which we did bring up Persona, but not any of the other ones. And so when I told him that, he said, I just want to make sure my favorite non-Final Fantasy series gets some love. Next, Shadow Hearts.
I played about 20 minutes of the first one a long time ago.
Yeah, well, I never played Shadow Hearts, so. Manuals Inc. says, am I missing something? Didn't you record an episode on the 24th?
Yeah, by the time you get your answer, you'll have had your answer.
Yeah, well, I replied to him, and he said, as long as it comes out, that's all I care about. So, this is the guy who made the Track 4 game that we mentioned on mm-hmm. that show. He was wondering when that was going to be out, so. Nightkind says, JRPG, otherwise known as Wait So I Can Hit You, and then I'll Wait So You Can Hit Me. Let's see, G2 Chris, did any of you guys get into Magic the Gathering on Xbox Live Arcade? It seems popular in some circles. A lot of people playing that.
I didn't even notice that there were a lot of people playing that.
When I was playing One Versus 100 last weekend, I saw a ton of people playing Magic the Gathering. They really, really like that game for some reason.
Yeah, so. How you'd like the One Versus 100?
How did I like One yeah. Versus 100? I don't like the extended play sessions, which are basically just, here's a bunch of people... answer some trivia, and you get entries into this right. contest, and you build up your score and that sort of thing.
See, I like that only for the reason that I made it to number 3 at one point.
Oh, wow.
Yeah, we had a... This was weeks ago. We had a party going, and at some point during the night, like, 4 of us had made it to the top 10.
Nice.
That's what you get in a party and just share answers with one another.
Yeah, that's true. That does work that way. I enjoyed it more when it was the live game.
Mm-hmm.
Only for the fact that it... It does everything, it goes further than every other game show I ever watch, which most of the time when I'm watching game shows, I'm kind of playing along anyway. And here, you really are playing
right, you
along.
You actually get to...
Yeah, you're really playing along. When they knock out ever how many people, your points go up and you know, you're ahead of at least the group that you're playing in.
Because even the spectators are playing.
Yeah, exactly. That's what I'm saying. Even when yeah. you're just in the audience, you're still getting to play.
Anybody else played it?
I have not.
No.
Well, do it. All right.
That's that's girlfriend stuff.
Mike Kay sent us a tweet, and this was back when Doc Finger had asked about the whole no land thing. I had said that our decision was, you know, Korea might have something to say about this with the StarCraft II. He said, doesn't Korea have the highest broadband penetration of any nation? He didn't think it would matter much. To have no land in StarCraft 2.
Well, you know what? I think I have to agree. Mostly because we've talked about the gaming habits of people in the East anyway. How they and I don't know if it's necessarily like this in South Korea, but I know in general they have a tendency to play more from their homes.
No.
On the
they have the internet. Oh, yeah. Tons
so
of them.
For yeah, maybe that effect wouldn't be quite the same. Maybe it wouldn't matter. And maybe the fact that it wouldn't matter to them is what they have to say about it. I mean, just keep in mind that that's where it was announced.
Mm-hmm.
So, maybe it's the fact that they don't care. That Blizzard doesn't care. I don't know. Good point.
Yeah. Dark Lord James says, any of you play Saints Row 2? It's like GTA, but with fun.
Yes.
I've
beaten it.
Oh, did you really?
Yes.
Good.
Wow. We agree. I agree with him in that sense of Saints Row 1, because I played a whole lot more Saints Row 1 than I have 2, and same thing with James here.
Yep.
It was a lot of fun, and yeah, it was actually more fun actually playing
played,
that than
yeah,
it was
played
playing
both.
GTA.
Yeah.
I played more Saints Row 2 than he has, but not necessarily you, Matt, because you've beaten the game, but
yeah.
I enjoyed the Saints Row series. I really do.
I had a great time with it. And the second one, even like the side stuff that you could do, seemed fun. You weren't getting harassed every 5 minutes by you know people wanting to go play pool or get a drink or come date me or you know all the stuff that you know a lot of people complain about GTA 4 about. Mm-hmm. The racing was fun, just the all around just driving around and just doing your stuff, you know. Even once I got the special perk where you don't take any kind of falling damage. Then it just became so much fun because then I'd get in my little spaceship, go up to the really high, just jump out and, you know, land on people.
What the fuck did you even just say? I don't know. I don't know what the hell you said.
It's really high and lands on people.
Yeah.
Do your bosses know you talk like that?
No.
Yeah, we have to tell them about your idea here a little bit later, if we can. Your bomb idea?
Oh, yeah, yeah. Yeah, definitely. I'm like, which idea is that? Which made it, I mean, for the Saints Row 2, which made it even, to get you more into my weird sense of mind, but made it even more fun because my character looked like a very heavily tattooed, crazy-looking Jesus who ran around naked.
So when he would fall,
let me tell you something. No.
It was a naked Jesus, you know, tattooed Jesus.
Don't think that this is like even the first time the naked Jesus has come up. Don't think that this is even like the 100th time the naked Jesus has come up in the 12 years, 14 years that I've known Matt. I would say that it's maybe the 100th time this year the naked Jesus has come up.
I just thought it was funny to have the naked Jesus. Yes,
really.
So yeah, that's. I had a great time in Saints Row 2. It was fun. The missions were good. I'm actually looking at getting the DLC.
Oh, cool.
But
after I mentioned that we were talking about Transformers, Luckless Wonder says, "I gotta say, the movie had its problems, but I enjoyed the hell out of it. I may be alone in this." Well, you're not.
You're actually not. I mean, yeah. You're not. Like, I will. Just to reiterate, not a good movie. Didn't mind spending the money on it.
I wouldn't. I've decided I would hate Transformers.
Yeah.
I have a condition that prevents me from enjoying things that are stupid.
I know. Yeah. Most people should.
Is it called intelligence?
Look, dude, I tell you, when I go into a movie theater, I am the dumbest motherfucker you have ever met. I can't see it coming. I don't know what's happening. I am incapable of analyzing the situation. I don't want any of that. I want to sit there with my seriously too large tub of popcorn and my soda pop, and I want to see the trailers, you know, and I want to see this cool stuff. And, hey, the crazy DLP intro. That's nice. That looks great. And then, like, I want to see a bunch of neat things happen. And then at the end, then when it's over with, then I'll worry about am I pissed now? But very rarely in the middle of something am I ever honestly aware of what's happening. It's just how I am. I want to spend, you know, $7 to $12 and be completely relieved of the need to think about anything.
See, the way I do it is, most of my friends don't like seeing movies with me because I hate them all.
Yeah.
Your friends?
Yes. No. Yeah. I hate all of my friends. I hate movies. I love movies. That's why I hate them.
Yeah, I know. I understand. Yeah. I know exactly where you're coming from.
So, I said this on Twitter the other day. When I go to see a movie, I feel like I'm paying $8.50 for a license to bitch about it later.
Huh? And I think that's totally valid. That's completely valid. If that's the way you want to be, like, that's a really great way. I'm just, like, I don't know. I like being in. I don't like the kids. I don't like the other people. And, like, oh my God, I thought we were on the verge of some sort of strange Mike Armageddon. We were with a pair of our friends who are, like, they're really great when they're your friends, but, like, you don't want to go out with these guys if you don't know these guys. Like, dude, the most unintentional, unnoticeable slight by a waitress or by another patron.
We'll incur this man's wrath.
for months. Like, and I hate it because, like, sometimes we want to go out to eat, and I'm like, hey, where are we going? And it's like, oh, we can't go. Like, when do we go here? No, we can't. You know, Mike's fries were cold. I'm not lying. Like, that's how it is. It's like, motherfucker, but I really want to eat that. Sorry, they had a bad experience last week. And, like, so you wonder about that stuff. And I love him to death because he has, like, zero tolerance for, like, little kids and stuff. Which, I mean, you know, I it's cool, guys. I know some of you guys have little kids. Some of you are little kids. I'm just saying. I'm talking about, like,
speaking of the devil. Yeah.
Outside some little kids.
He's real funny in that regard, and I think it's really great. And, like, but he's, like, kind of angry New Yorker about it.
Yeah.
So I just kind of sit there and, like, enjoy the situation. And there were no fewer than, like, three some number of month-old babies.
Oh, damn it.
In a 2.5-hour movie.
What the fuck?
Yeah,
why?
I know.
Why?
And I was like, dude,
you
one of them's gonna
anybody, really nobody?
Yeah. One of them's gonna scream, and just like a bunch of dogs in a neighborhood, the next one's gonna scream, and then Mike's gonna throw something, and it's gonna turn into a big thing, and I'm like, oh, it's gonna be awful. But, like, dude, those were some pretty chillaxed babies. I was very, maybe that was it. Like, I was expecting to go to a horrible place when that movie started, but it was a pretty good experience. And So for what it's worth, I like that experience. I like to go to the theater and munch my popcorn.
You know, I hope the theaters at least charge a ticket for the baby.
Oh, I can't imagine
I can't imagine that they do, but damn it.
Yep.
They should.
See, my theater,
that would at least
I
discourage them from bringing them. I wouldn't let them into my theater.
Yeah.
Weekend showings at the theater I go to, if after 9 o'clock, they don't let anybody in under 18.
Oh, well.
That would be nice.
We don't have an equivalent paradise here.
That's when I go see Phil.
In the Gump. We try to go really early, because people don't usually like to go to the early films. But some, they've cut back
but that's
our
when
very...
they bring children.
Well, not on Sundays. On Sundays, it used to be you could go to like an 11, mm-hmm. and nobody would be there. Lately, they've cut back our 11s, so I don't know. I don't know how it is out there in listener land
during the
for
week
you guys.
When everybody else is, you know, just doing work stuff.
Sometimes I go during the week, too. I just hope work doesn't listen to this. Yeah.
I don't know. But, yeah, again, I went there, I had my popcorn, I watched it, and stuff happened for a while, and I was like, okay, it was great fun, I suppose. Whatever.
You're welcome for that popcorn. Yeah. Hey, I offer it. I'm not going to drag you too far into it.
Whatever.
It's like, we're in a line.
Yeah.
I don't want to, let's just go ahead and get our shit all together. So, on to the
I didn't even have, and I totally, like, ordered the lobster.
You did. I thought about this after I dropped you off at the house for some reason. I thought, this is the first time that fucker's ever ordered the large bucket of popcorn. It's what I offered to pay.
Well played.
Yeah.
Hey, what do you do, man? It's only a buck more, right?
Yeah, then he tried to defend it. That was it. It's only a buck for me. It's only a buck more.
Well, that buck isn't any more substantial than the other $8.
No wonder my credit card wouldn't work today. I bought you large popcorn.
Yeah, it was cool.
Email time. Paul Morissette sends us an email, says, hey, IGC crew. This is my first time writing in from Australia, no less. Hey.
Yeah, we love Australia.
Yeah, we get a lot of emails from those guys. So thanks for the great show you provide every week. I've been listening since EVAV Radio.
Except for the weeks where we don't.
I've been listening since EVAV Radio, and this podcast is a regular part of my weekly gaming routine. Anyway, I thought I'd write in with a couple of points regarding E3 issues. Firstly, I enjoyed your discussions about Project Natal and its possible integration with the 360 when it launches. I've often considered Microsoft and Sony are just too far behind Nintendo to close the gap in this generation, but your discussion has made me think otherwise. While Project Natal isn't necessarily something I'm excited about, I prefer my trusty controller. I'm still interested to see its success in tapping into the casual market. I know you've already discussed this issue in two episodes, so don't feel like you have to go over it again, but I just thought I'd let you know how interesting I found those conversations. Secondly, my main reason for writing in was to ask you guys about Star Wars The Old Republic. Shit, we're 2 hours already into the show. I know you guys are looking forward to Champions Online. We should
not
go back
actually,
to that.
Actually, not so much anymore. That's all I'm going to say.
Open beta in August, by the way.
Did you guys talk last week about the BioWare Mythic?
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, which that's those guys could collude towards some really interesting shit.
Yes.
Possibly as immediate as Old Republic.
Well, I'm worried because BioWare doesn't really have the MMO experience.
This is where I am now.
Paul. We'll get back to you in a minute.
Do we need to finish his comment? Because he's asking about the Old Republic, and that's...
Let me read through it, but we'll just go through this. I know you guys are looking forward to Champions Online, but I was wondering if you had taken any interest in the Old Republic.
Yeah, I think it's where we are now.
Initially, no.
Yeah,
now,
yes. Initially, no, because what they showed was, frankly, unimpressive.
You can go back to the show
appalling.
Where we talk about what we saw.
Well, and I think that may have been one of the first examples of... I mean, this is obvious. Well, I don't know if it's the case with every game. When they showed their very first footage of Old Republic, it was way too early, and I formed an opinion about the game based on that. Now, if it had been a single-player game and they showed me some early stuff, like I remember those videos that leaked, not leaked, but that were released about the early first effort stuff for Bayonetta.
Okay.
When it was like all that jacked up, ridiculous stuff that like had horrible animations and shit, but actually looked kind of cool. You've already seen how beautiful Bayonetta is. So to look back at like this pre-alpha stuff, all placeholder stuff, was really, really interesting. You're not going to form an opinion about the game based on that. But when they came out, particularly with an MMO, and said, here is the first look at our MMO, you know? It kind of looks like shit. Everybody was like, your MMO shit. Not looks like shit, your MMO is shit. The whole point was, you got lightsaber swinging, blaster wielding, you know, intergalactic badasses. Or pan-galactic badasses, whatever.
Pan-galactic gargle blasters?
Yeah, right?
Go for one of those.
You just form that ugly opinion about the game. And then suppose... See, this is... I have a problem now because I had sort of written it off. I'm with you. I don't think BioWare has done anything to demonstrate that they know what the fuck to do with an MMO. In all fairness, there's another company I can think of that...
Did Blizzard know anything?
Didn't know what the fuck they were doing with MMOs, and they...
Yeah.
Okay. But I think one of the first missteps they made was, like, exposing us to something
pre-alpha.
Too early.
Yeah.
It really seemed to have an understanding of how MMO fans...
They could never accuse
fans...
Blizzard of doing that.
Nope. They didn't seem to understand people's reactions to that. However, after this year's E3, I mean, we all know... what the cinematic was, and it was a wonderful cinematic. It was really great, but it has no bearing on the game whatsoever. We're seeing like the newest art style and the newest polish passes on some of the still shots they were releasing, but all reports about the behind closed doors play sessions have been not just positive but almost fanatic,
very glowing. Yeah,
and compared to where we all were, what, 2 years ago,
To
see that turnaround, I'm willing to give them the benefit of the doubt. I still don't think they know all of what they're doing. I think some of their design decisions are too high-minded. And I love me some MMOs, but MMOs are not necessarily the right place to get high-minded. You have got to have your game mechanics well the fuck in check to run an MMO. And you need to concentrate on that sort of shit, or what you wind up with is a hot mess like Age of Conan. And it had other problems, the kind of problems BioWare's never going to have. Not enough money, not enough time. But the design failures were still there. Like, we're going to implement things that are so amazing that we can only afford to do them in the first 20 levels. And then we're going to drop you off a cliff into the boring-ass backwater of unmentionable, unremarkable MMO gaming. And I still think it's possible for someone like BioWare to overreach, again, because they don't have the measure of what it takes to make an MMO. Mythic, at the very least, does.
Right.
Whatever you might say about their success, particularly with Warhammer, they've made an MMO. They've done it. They've brought one to market, and failures and successes all wrapped up together. They know what it takes, so... Maybe a lot of their practicality, if it's at all possible for that to influence BioWare's raw talent. I will tell you right now that it is my next MMO at the moment. You know,
I'll definitely be getting it.
Like, I'm doing whatever I'm doing right now, whether it's Eve or Warcraft, but that shit. Maybe it can finally make good on the promise that Galaxies was supposed to... I mean, it was Galaxies. It's fucking Star Wars.
How do you fuck that up?
Well, twice.
Yeah.
Yeah. There are essays
yes.
about that. About how they did fuck it up. But I don't know, man. If you can do Star... If you can swing this... If you can spin it like a Knights of the Old Republic MMO, which looks like that's what they're going to try to do, then you're already on the way to having a big success with people you've never had success with before. And that's the gold at the end of the rainbow, is people who have never played this kind of thing before. New people, new money, that you're not... Otherwise, you're looking... How many people can we steal from Warhammer / World of Warcraft / Aeon / whatever else will already be at market? That's always a consideration. On top of that is, who are we going to get that's never done this before? Who among the gaming public is going to spend $15 with us that's never spent it before? All the assholes who played Knights of the Old Republic but have no concept how an MMO works. Assholes. I say assholes. Whatever. Bunch of guys. It's a new market. So, yep. Man, I'm all about the Old Republic. It's my new...
When's it expected to launch?
next 10? Year.
Yeah.
It's in a very nebulous place right now. It's in a very next year place. That's why I think it might actually be possible for some of the mythic talent to
influence
to move over here.
Time.
Yeah. And I tell you, as much as it's nice to have a game now, the last kind of game you want now is an MMO. You want to be good? Give them however long they want.
How long was Blizzard working on WoW before?
It launched in 2004. I don't know, 5-6 years?
Yeah.
Something like that. And tens of millions of dollars?
Right.
Which...
Well, the public has been maybe 2 years.
I don't know. The information about that stuff usually gets more accurate over time as they want to tell you more about the past, but 2-3 years? I mean, did we see videos 2 years ago?
It says it was, according to this, it was announced October 21st, 08.
So that's...
October 21st, 08?
That's less than a year.
It was announced October 21st, 08.
Wow.
It hasn't been that long.
At an Invitation-only press event.
I could have sworn it had been longer. I don't know why I thought that.
Well, we've been talking about it for longer.
Yeah.
Like, we've known that it's there somewhere.
Right.
But they finally showed it to us.
I guess that's what it was. I don't know. I gotta tell you, though, man, they got a lot of money. And it takes a lot of money to make a big MMO. It takes a lot of money. And they are as close to being another Blizzard as you can get. BioWare is. You know, they got deep coffers. They have a deep talent pool. They have a winning subject matter, Star Wars stuff, like kind of under their belt. Yeah, you could see it actually. I don't think it would be unfair or unrealistic or stupid to say that this could finally be the WoW killer. Be great if it was.
Yeah,
needs to be one. Yeah, man, I'm all about it.
All right. Continuing on with that was, as a huge Star Wars fan myself, it caught my attention. However, I think the Galaxy Saga will probably put off many fans. With BioWare making it, though, I feel more confident in what they could produce, especially with their emphasis on story, which has really been their strong point in so many past games. I've recently stopped playing WoW, not for lack of enjoyment, but just to free up some time to play other games. But I plan to dive back into my MMOs at some point, and I was just interested in what you guys may have to say about the Old Republic. Anyway, love the show. Keep up the good work. P.S. Is Dana ever coming back?
Yeah, we talk about that sometimes. Dana works a lot.
Yeah, sure.
I nag her about coming back all the time. I get angry at her, and then
I pout. People who've played Galaxies, you think they'd be more or less interested in Old Republic?
I think they would be more interested because Sony's not running it.
Yeah.
They didn't hate the heart of the game. They hated SOE.
Right.
That's where all the hate went.
They being teleported into the middle of space will do that.
Yeah.
The casual gamer who picked it up because it's Star Wars.
Yeah.
Are they more likely to pick up another Star Wars MMO?
Hmm. Again, that's where I think the attachment to Knights of the Old Republic lives. I think you have to gain a little momentum from the. I think it was smart of them to do The Old Republic as their...
And that trailer doesn't hurt at all.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Dude, if you want those guys, like, Old Republic, Old Republic, Old Republic, all in capital letters, throw that in their face and then show them that video over and over and over again. Mm-hmm. And then finally, like, dig the hook in deep by showing them how they can do something that's sort of kind of like that, or at least feel cool. That's all you gotta do. Like...
Just throw my 2 cents in there. Not that it really matters much, but I have a like instant aversion to anything pre New Hope.
Yeah.
Because, well, I didn't really enjoy the films that much, and I didn't like the Old Republic games that much.
Yeah.
So,
I didn't either.
So anything that like happens in that era, I'm like, well, I don't really have any attachment to that. You know, I like stormtroopers. And,
yeah.
And Palpatine's invaders and the post the stuff that happened afterwards and at least the handful of novels that I read, you know.
Yeah.
Expanded universe and Cal Katarn and all that. Yeah, I like all that. Everything after that's fine, everything before that I'm just kinda like, It'll have to be a damn good game to like get my attention.
It's all about the Mark Steel.
But here's the thing. Here's why I think it's good. There is no collision before the movies. There's nothing to bump into. Mm-hmm. Like, This stuff, this shit is 4,000 years ago.
Yeah.
Give or take a few centuries in any direction. The sort of parallax off-center from, like, this whole Knights of the Old Republic thing, be they the games or the graphic novels or any of that stuff, you've got a really wide margin. If it's classic Star Wars you're talking about, you've got, what, a margin of 30 to 50 years at most? You can move centuries in either direction without having to fuck with the basic elements of your story back in the Old Republic stuff.
Oh, sure.
And there's very
few...
But it's good for a game designer, mm-hmm. which means you're more likely, theoretically, to get a better game because there aren't constraints on, well, this is what the weapons are, mm-hmm. and this is what the armor is. Like, they can fuck around a lot more and just... be like, you know, whatever. It's 4,000 years ago. That's why swords and lightsabers, you know, that's why you can do that. Okay, sure. It's 4,000 years ago. So that's just giving the benefit of the doubt to a game designer. A big open space to play in. Lots of room to tell story. So I don't know. I will say that, you know, BioWare in general, I as happy as I am that Old Republic looks like it's doing well, I don't like Dragon Age. I don't like anything I've seen of Dragon Age. I don't like it, you know. And for that looks like that's exactly the sort of thing they ought to be knocking out of the park. And it looks really wimpy and kind of gross to me. I don't like it, but it's whatever.
Before we get too far from Star Wars. Can you guys work your magic and get Raven to make a new Jedi Knight?
Oh, God, don't I wish.
Man.
Yeah.
We talk about Jedi Knight 2.
It would have to be a Jedi continuation Knight of the 2, Academy Jedi because you can't Academy, have Kyle Katarn. From what I hear, you know, they will not do another Kyle Katarn game because, you know, the whole idea of, you know, him losing all his powers again for, what, the third time?
Yeah, but why do
whatever, nobody remembers.
But why do that? Why? Why did he lose his goddamn powers again? Why?
Start off, you know, with the lightsabers.
Why?
Yeah,
Tell
me why. Why does he got to do that? Why do we got to fucking start over every fucking time?
That's
why?
How games work.
Yeah.
Have you ever played Metroid?
Yeah. but it's bad. It's bad. Fucking, I don't know. Give me, you know what? Do the next Kyle Katarn game, but like do it like, I don't know, something like Prototype. It's like, you're a bad motherfucker. From the start. Here you are. Go be a bad motherfucker. Like, build a game around that. Or... take all my force powers and don't give them back. You know, give me some dark forces. I know that would never work, but yeah. I mean, what did Raven?
Yeah, I mean, I've played me some Jedi Knight games. I know what the powers are. You don't have to withhold them for me. Just make some fun levels to play through.
Yeah.
Tell an interesting story.
Make sure I could use that cheat code to the realistic saber
combat.
Yeah.
Or just make that the default. How about that?
Oh, well, that would be even better.
Yes.
I'm just saying, you know, you don't have to spoon feed me the powers as I go through.
I don't need to grow up during the game.
No.
Nope. So, well, now that we've, you know, gotten you past your existential crisis, Raven, you go right ahead.
You know, I know you like kind of teach new players how to play by doing that, but you can still like design the level so that like, okay, now you need to use this power to get over this thing and kill this guy. I mean, you can still do that, and I can still have all my power. You don't have to depower me.
Yeah.
You know, whatever.
Yep.
Just all go do it. Don't argue about it.
Yeah. All right, what do we got? We need to wrap it up.
I know we got an email from Spigot. We haven't heard from in a while. Spigot here. I figured my kids have made an appearance by proxy on the show a few times, so I wanted to let you know that he has finally blossomed into a gamer.
Good job.
I gave him a DS Fat for his 5th birthday last week, and I don't think I've ever seen an expression of pure joy than when he opened that present. Which brings me to the subject line of this email, which the subject line is the DS Dark. He and I were playing some multiplayer New Super Mario Brothers on our DSs the other night. He on his fat and me on my light. The following conversation is pretty much verbatim. Garrett, which is his son, Garrett says, "Daddy, why is your screen so bright?" Spigot says, "It's because I have a DS Lite." Garrett says, "Well, I have a DS Dark." Even my wife, a non-gamer, if ever there was one, couldn't stop laughing when she heard that. Anyway, I figured you'd get a kick out of this, and he also attached a couple of videos and pictures of the great unveiling to warm the cockles of our hearts. Keep up the great work, guys. Brock, a.k.a. Spigot, a.k.a. the guy who plays Strange Games. So, there you go. That's all the email we got. Do we want to hit the thread at all?
Sure.
The thread? I think we're reaching a little far back to hit the thread.
From our previous, okay.
Well, because it's not from our previous.
That's true.
Because our previous doesn't exist, which is why I think we should...
Well, I do want to say one thing. From our episode before last, I guess, by the time
our
you get
previous.
This one, yes. We referenced a guy who had posted on our site at ingamechat.net.
Yeah.
He finally, Zekon is his name. He finally signed up over at COG.
That was really good. Yeah. Well, and it was like, you know, a lot of people called me out on what I said in the episode before that. And then I was like, no, you're right. It's totally cool. I didn't mean to be a dick about this other stuff, so it's fine. And then a bunch of people came back in the thread and was like, no, I didn't mean to be a dick about this. I was like, it's totally cool. I'm the dick. I always am. It's always me.
So, yeah, that's it. Ryan, thanks for joining us. Thanks for making the drive.
That was fun.
We're sorry to send you back. I give you a 4-hour drive at 9 o'clock at night.
I'm going to go dick around town for a while.
There's not really a lot of stuff to do around here.
Especially after 9 o'clock.
I have to reference something. Didn't you made an offer on Twitter.
What?
You remember that offer?
Yes.
Chicken wings. Yeah, remember that?
It stands.
Huh?
Okay.
He was talking about chicken wings, and I was just like, I was at work, I'm starving, and I'm like, chicken wings. He's like, hey, when I'm down there for the show, if you can find a local dive, I'll get you guys some chicken wings.
I'm down.
And I remember saying, or I don't know if I responded, but I was thinking, there's usually not a place open when we're done with the show. Most places are closing up. So, yeah, maybe we'll get some chicken wings here, but thanks for being on the show.
Thanks for letting me.
Making the drive. You're welcome anytime. You want to drive this 4 hours?
You come down to Catalyze with us again. That's really good.
Real quick, like we said previously, episodes and everything like that, I am going to be taking a vacation in about 2 weeks to work on my suntan.
You're
going to
love it.
And I'm going to love every second of it. But
look for his thread.
Yeah, I'm going to put up a thread on the COG website under the forums about getting information.
Can we say what you do?
Yeah, okay.
Matt builds bombs.
I build bombs. And legally. Legally, I build bombs. I'm not the guy with
He builds bombs for the government.
Yeah.
Yes. Which is great.
They already know.
Yeah, they know. They own me.
Matt can put stuff on these bombs. And he's
and
done
I have.
Before. For us.
Where and this it's is like we should add that for a lot of people, this is probably very tasteless. We thought it was really funny.
So, he can put your name on a bomb that's going to blow up what?
People.
What is
people and things.
That's classified.
People and things.
Right. Yes. Things he can't really probably talk about, but he could put your name on it, or he could put Colony of Gamers on the side of it.
Yeah.
You really want to do
that. Now, there's some advertising.
So, yeah, he could totally...
This destruction brought to you by...
Co-optimist.
Last time I was there, I drew a flan spaghetti monster that said, "Feel his noodly wrath."
That's pretty awesome.
So yeah, he's gonna make a thread and get you guys
best
throw.
Suggestion for what to write on a bomb,
and he will take a picture of it.
How about? Yeah. I'm sorry.
This will only hurt for a second.
So yeah, there you go. Anyway, that's it for the show. Thanks for listening, guys, and we'll see you next week.
Maybe.